listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Okay. How does it work?
All right. What day is it? It's Wednesday, March 20th, first day of spring in 2 hours. Fakeologist.com. Let me just fix my microphone, but if you go to the text channel, that's called Command.
Yes, I did it already.
All right. So that's where you can see, we were practicing there. You see, some of the commands that we were using there.
I will try to play this video now.
Okay.
Not really working. That's cute.
It's playing.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's playing. Okay, that works, pause. So that was the video of this so-called hijacking today in Italy.
You know, I was already suspicious the way they described it, because that article said there was 50 students and he bound their hands, and I'm like, how do you do that, you know, in a bus of students, bind them all? Frankly, we're all right.
Yeah, the video, to be honest, looks legit. I mean, it looks like a guy just filming from his car in a traffic jam, and it looks okay. But you pointed out the smoking gun, and there were no hands tied whatsoever. The children were just running and screaming. There were no hands.
Well, it could be just the media making their spin on it, you know, extra, because they repeated a few things they heard the guy say, and who knows what went on. But the video looks pretty legit, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's another story. I don't know. And of course, it feeds the politicians talking about things and so on, so...
Absolutely, but I wouldn't be surprised if a simpler person who is not so, you know, grew up with all this media and propaganda bombarding them, coming to this country as an immigrant, exposed to those stories, will freak out. You know, I almost freaked out once when there was this Russian-Ukrainian war, supposedly, the Crimea story. The propaganda that came out, like they're bombing civilians, they would show the bombing, they would show civilians ripped apart or something. After, because I was watching it so closely, I'm like, started finding inconsistencies. But I was watching it from a perspective that I'm like genuinely upset that Russian people are being killed. And I was almost up to the point that I was going to go there and stuff. So I can easily see how a person bombarded by propaganda can dip out and do something.
No, that's for sure. That's for sure. And I think these things happen, but my general rule is when it's presented in the media, it usually is a story that is put out there on purpose with people they're having under control. And they will not show the real things that happen. Right,
yeah.
So
I think that immigrants, though, from third world countries are way more suspicious of propaganda than first world. They're used to it, actually.
Yeah.
I think
it's in many cases, but not all cases,
yeah.
I think.
No, not all cases. I think in general, though.
I mean, it's...
People that are from the system are really of the system because they don't have the money or the means or the jobs to keep them locked into the system.
Yeah, with the stories of, they said 2,300 people died when crossing the Mediterranean. I don't think that number is correct. And I think people can die. I mean, of course.
The conspiracy is that Europe is sinking the ships that are approaching, shoreline or whatever, middle probably. And that's probably why.
Well, I think it's the exact opposite. I think they picked them up from the beach in Libya, and we had photos where they are completely well dressed with floating vests, and everything was arranged. And I mean, it only the champagne was missing. I would say, right? It's both sides. They will put out their propaganda, and they use these kind of stories to feed new propaganda and so on. But at least there is something happening. I mean, there are migrants coming into Europe en masse. I didn't agree with what you said in the last chat app that these people are going back, because that is not happening. In Europe, I don't know about Canada, but in Europe, that is not happening. These people stay.
Well, I'm not saying they go back. Well, some of them retire back to their official...
The smart ones, yeah, of course. The smart ones. The ones who make money and they invest in their home country where they speak the language and the culture. But
I don't know. I live in New York, guys. For 100 plus years has shown the world that masses of immigrants gonna, transform into Americans. Everybody does. And I heard Fake Alex talk about that. Like, people do assimilate, even Muslims, even practically everybody. Of course, there's going to be some radical bunch.
Oh, so you agree with me? You're agreeing with me.
I live in New York. I see you. Everybody's an immigrant here. I see how it's happening live over decades.
So you do agree with me? I just want to be clear, because sometimes I get mixed up.
Yeah. Sure, I agree with the idea of immigrants, that it's not a big problem whatsoever, that it's made in the media into an issue, and now you have alt-right people and right-side people. It's not a problem whatsoever.
No, my experience is very different. I mean, in Holland, I've lived in very multicultural neighborhoods, and there is stuff happening. I mean, there is criminality. You've got really these little Moroccan guys.
Yeah,
I mean,
but why do they end up in the ghetto? Why do they end up bunched in the ghetto? They made ghettos in New York as well. Black people, when you put them in the ghetto, ends up turning bad place. Absolutely. It depends how you do it.
Yes.
Yeah, you have really gangs of Moroccan guys, young kids. I mean, they're 15 years old, and they're spitting on people, they're cursing, I've seen it also in France. That is happening, and that is true.
The
false narrative, I think, what is made is that they are made terrorists. Of course, all this terrorism stuff, it's all stories. That is not the problem, but there are problems.
People rebel against the system. There is many reasons where people, the criminality itself aspect, how you breed criminality, the way that social management goes, how people are being punched into places and everything. There is a lot of aspects to this. I don't even blame. I see that's going on. It's absolutely the case. But I don't think, that's the problem. I think it's another symptom of
I think it's economic. If these people had a job and were busy somehow, or were in school, or I agree, it could be a problem when young people.
And at the first time, Europe was such a conservative place that the first immigrants, they come in there for a while. I remember being to Paris in 2008. I saw nothing but Muslim African there.
Ah, okay.
And the first. the first Europeans, they were very close-minded and closed their society, kind of. You couldn't achieve anything as an immigrant, so there's a lot goes from those policies.
No, there was of course immigration inside Europe between countries and different religions and so, but then the overarching culture group was Christian European, and that is changing, and that is on purpose. That is the thing, and then they call it a right wing conspiracy. It has nothing to do with right wing, and it is not a conspiracy because they admit that they do it. So
it's happening, yeah.
And it's not only economics. It is a big part of it, I agree, but it's not. It's also social friction, causing social friction, and then they build these stories on top of that to cause even more social friction. Right? Well, I mean, what we call the racist or whatever, but it's bullshit, right? I mean, that is not the problem.
Yeah. Just see if this works. Or does. By the way, I want to thank Tryptamine, who is a Moroccan, who is a very smart Moroccan, a computer whiz, who created this bot.
Yeah, definitely. He's
bot.
Great.
So let us not just Carl Moroccan.
Oh, no, I don't do it. I have worked in and then.
We have the best Moroccan working on the Discord, helping us with this clip bot. Which is great. I want to encourage people to play clips in the audio chat live stream. It really kind of breaks it up, spices it up, and makes it a little more interesting, especially when you're trying to describe a story. You can just pull up a news report, and the search is very useful as well. And he fixed the search in a way that you can queue stories by doing a search with the search terms and then queuing up all the stories. You just press 1 to 10 to queue them up. Have you tried that yet?
I'm not sure. I haven't tried anything.
Bus burning. Where was it? Italy?
Yeah. The bus was burning. But it's not in the mainstream. I don't see it. BBC.
Okay, here's one. See, we can queue it up. Let's try. So you can press 1. 2. Boy, good sound. Did we already play this one?
Yeah.
Okay, can you just enter in the commands? You can type skip, dash skip, and go to the next one. Just trying to practice. Guy, anybody listening?
No, not get it. This one.
No. Whilst I was in Rome to cover the Italian election, I come across a video online of a reporter being attacked by migrants lying
on
the...
Oh, Tommy Robinson is such an Israeli show. Are you aware, guys?
I never heard of him.
Oh my God, he's the alt-right idol these days. He's just recently got censored of some platforms as well, and there's some court cases against him. Him and there's a few other shills in other countries, but he's the biggest alt-right shill these days. And he's a Zionist, he's pro-Israel, he's together with Mossad. He looks like a Mossad himself.
You can skip it, I just wanted to try it.
I'm surprised you never heard of Tommy Robinson.
Well, I think I have, but I don't think I've ever played anything in this that way.
I don't know how it works, dude. I don't know how to operate the bot.
Oh, just go into the command and type the word dash skip. That's it. Okay.
Strange.
We got any more big events in the news today?
I don't know. They are doing their Brexit story. I think that's about it. There was, in Mozambique, there was a massive storm system.
Some progress. Mr. Speaker, we're now acting in the absence of a deal, with the express will of this House to prevent no deal. And one of my biggest concerns today is that the Prime Minister's actions make no deal far more likely, not less. And that's the very issue we were trying to deal with.
Stop that one. I don't want to hear anything more on Brexit. I'm all Brexited out. Most boring story ever.
Well, they're, you know, shaking everything that can be shaken. You know, they're trying to stir crap in every possible way, shape, and form. But look, since the censorship has been extremely, they're probably preparing a big event, or at least, you know, intensification. There's got to be something after this crazy, crazy censorship, because what's the point of doing this otherwise?
Does New Zealand have a news service here?
Like in China, for example, when there was a flooding in China, the Chinese party had a law. If it's below 10,000 houses that are flooded, it's a small disaster. And if past 10,000 is a big disaster. So they specifically control the news narrative so nobody posted a photographs of, you know, major flooding that happened there. So they were hiding basically the flooding. Nearly the same story happened in India because there was no adequate response to the flooding. It's all from this summer. Same thing is there, you know, heavily censorship on this environmental event, weather events. So I'm thinking we're going to have some catastrophes this summer. You know, maybe even it's already like Mozambique, already happening, just other parts of the globe. But that's not certain. It's a theory. It's a theory. There is also this weather part. Weather catastrophe part. It's not just society breaking down, which is happening. It's also major changes to the earth that is going to happen.
Okay. Play a bit of this. I listened to this today.
Support for This American Life comes from Mission to Zix, a comedy podcast set in space. Join Ambassador Plek Dexeter and his crew as they attempt
this
to establish
diplomatic
relations.
This is a podcast I listen to all the time, and they finally
and frankly, crappy
got this Lenny Posner.
That's Mission
Barbara
to Zix.
On. Listen to a bit of this.
Hear it wherever you get your podcasts.
He wants to explain to people what his life is like these days, and he sometimes tells this story. Election night in 2016, he says, he went to a bar, got a seat near a TV, ordered a beer, and started making small talk.
And I turned to the guy to my right, and said, did you vote? And from there, he went into a long explanation about some shadow government ideas and whether voting makes a difference. And probably 10 minutes into it, he was talking about mass shootings and then eventually Sandy Hook.
Sandy Hook, of course, where a gunman killed 20 children, all in first grade, as well as 7 adults. This random stranger then started telling Lenny this particular story about Sandy Hook. He thought the whole shooting was fake. It had to be fake, he said, because one of those first graders also showed up as a victim in a second mass shooting, all the way over in Pakistan. In the corners of the internet where people trade Sandy Hook conspiracy stories, this is a key piece of evidence that Sandy Hook was not real. Of course, it was real. And what happened in Pakistan was, in reality, about 2 years after Sandy Hook, the Taliban gunned down more than 100 kids there. And there was a public vigil, and at the public vigil, probably as a sign of solidarity with other kids who had died in school shootings, mourners had this photo of a boy from Sandy Hook, smiling and wearing a Spider-Man shirt under a corduroy jacket with a furry collar. Sandy Hook deniers saw that in the coverage, and they pounced. Did he die twice? Did he die at all? So the guy at the bar with Lenny is rattling through all this Pakistan stuff, and then, as Lenny explained to one of my coworkers, Nikki Meek, the guy mentions the kid's name, Noah Posner.
I didn't really need to hear much more than that. just needed to shut him down, basically.
So what did you do?
I took out my driver's license, and I said, look who you're talking to. You know, show some respect.
The boy in the photo was Lenny's son, Noah, who was 6 when he died.
Did he connect it, or...?
Well, he connected it instantly, yeah. And he just became more agitated. Very angered, went outside, maybe had a cigarette, came back, yelled at me some more. Oh, my God, how much did they pay you? How can you do this? He was committed to his belief. I was the villain.
People like this man at the bar pretty much redefined everything about the way Lenny lives his life. Where he lives, how he lives. He runs into these hoaxers in person, and pretty much every day online. They think the government has paid him millions to play the part of a grieving dad. In their minds, Lenny is the sick one. Noah is never even his kid. And the person who has popularized these theories more than anybody is Alex Jones, who runs the website InfoWars, and who pushed these theories with his radio show and his YouTube videos. Alex Jones made his name right after 9/11, promoting the idea that 9/11 was an attack orchestrated by our own government. With Sandy Hook, Jones said many times that he did not believe the shooting was real.
Sandy Hook is a synthetic, completely fake, with actors, in my view, manufactured. I couldn't believe it at first. I knew they had actors there, clearly, but I thought they killed some real kids. And it just...
Any comments so far, guys? This is one of the
biggest ones. Have you noticed how they called us hoaxers? Because we talk about Sandy being a hoax.
Yes.
We are the hoaxers.
Yes, yes. That is the common mistake. Great point, Nick. I mean, a hunter is someone who hunts, a painter is someone who paints, and a hoaxer is someone who makes hoaxes, right? So not the ones exposing them.
Yes, yes, yes. And they added the weaponized word denier, their favorite word of all time. Denier is the N word. They've made it into the worst word ever.
I'm a climate change denier.
Our president is also, did you see his tweet like a week ago? Donald Trump was completely saying it's a hoax, science. He uses our terminology. That's the funny. I don't think he's for real. I'm not into QAnon thing either. But the way that they do in our president tweeting the same lingo that we use here today.
That's why it's so important to keep coming up with new words and new terms. Because the old terms are weaponized, so we have to come up with new terms.
I said that Donald Trump took over. He took over the fake news term fakery. He took it away from us. He was a...
Yeah, in your interview, right? In your interview, what was it? Which show was it? The Bob and something show? What was it?
Humble and Fred.
Humble and Fred.
Yeah, I said Donald Trump didn't do us any favors. He actually, if anything, he took it and ridiculed it and made it ridiculous. And that's the best way to discourage and or diffuse an idea. You make it ridiculous, attach crazy to it. And to think a president could have done that, who would have ever thought?
He introduces the idea. Climate change is a fake science. So it's interesting.
He's right about some things, but it's I guess this is the way he presents things. He mixes up a lot of things that he just disagrees with fakery. It's just like Alex Jones.
But I'm just saying, our president, the person who people think is the real deal president of the United States, voted for and everything, is... it's probably not him, but his department, but supposedly, again, he's copying us.
Yes.
He wants to be like us, but it's hard for him. Sure.
Okay, shall we resume? Anytime you want to pause the audio, just dash pause. Anyone can pause it to make a statement.
Nope.
So somebody can press dash resume, click or type dash command text.
Shows how bold they are that they clearly used actors.
He's claimed that the government or some shadowy global forces are the ones who hired these actors. He and the other hoaxers call them crisis actors. It's like this whole alternate world. that is just right next to the real one. It makes life miserable for parents like Lenny. But unlike most parents in that situation, Lenny decided to go all action hero on the hoaxers and on Alex Jones. Action hero, I will do what needs to get done to defend my family. Damn the consequences. Lenny is resourceful. He is dogged. He does not give up. In this world that we live in of hoaxers and trolls, he has marked out a path that I think few of us would ever want to take. But it is kind of amazing to hear what it entails. Today on our show, we have Lenny's story. And then we have a story from writer John Ronson, where he also tries to entangle where this alternate hoaxer world ends and the real one begins. From WBZ Chicago, it's This American Life. I'm Ira Glass. Stay with us. One, down the rabbit hole. So our story about the transformation of Lenny Posner was put together by Meeky Meek. I should say there's some curse words in today's program that we have unbeeped for this podcast version of the show. If you prefer a beeped version, it is at our website. Here's Meeky.
The first time Lenny became aware of any conspiracy theories about Sandy Hook was about a month after the shooting. He'd been on a media blackout, trying to get through Noah's funeral and taking care of his two young girls. They were also at the elementary school that morning. And one of them was Noah's twin sister. She hid in a separate classroom. But one day, Lenny finally felt ready to go online. Read the news, Googled his son's name.
InfoWars was coming up on search results. The forums.
The forums, right?
Yeah, and it's just completely disgusting.
In just over 30 days, this whole world had been invented. And one of the central pieces of it involved Lenny's wife. InfoWars fans were dissecting this one interview she did on CNN. It was with Anderson Cooper. Just days after Noah's funeral.
What do you want people to know about Noah?
He loved running and playing with his siblings, and he loved bubble baths and fireflies, and he loved eating the inside of Oreo cookies, and he played the video Gangnam Style ad nauseum.
I understand he used to tell his siblings that he managed a taco factory.
Yes, that he was going to split his time as an adult between managing a taco factory and being an astronaut.
Did anybody hear that?
Oh, man.
Are the guys that write these stories hilarious or what?
Yeah. No, they make themselves ridiculous. I mean,
that's comedy gold right there. That is too much.
That is
bring up the astronaut thing because they keep pumping the NASA space.
Yeah, it's exactly.
The taco factory? Come on. I dare you to ask.
I mean, why would a rich kid in a rich millionaire's town of Newtown become a taco factory something? Nah, it's ridiculous.
I just call that comedy. And aren't the children? What grade were the children in? I forget. Grade one? Because we're talking about 7-year-olds, 6-year-olds. They don't talk like that, even if they. It's just funny. There's a couple hilarious little pieces of the narrative that are in this recording that I wanted to write them down, but since we're playing the audio, it's the same.
It's better.
And by the way, the second act of this audio, John Ronson he's got the creepiest delivery. And the disdain he has for people in the truth community ripped out of the speakers when he talks. He is such an arrogant SOB. You just want to reach through the speaker and strangle him. He is such a pompous ass. He's what everyone thinks of British people in a negative way. He's that kind of character. Anyway. He does a profile on Alex Jones, and I don't think anyone wants to listen to that. But that's the next act of this audio. Okay, somebody resume it.
Okay.
Well, you're both gonna resume it.
No, I was waiting for Nick. I could have.
No, I was waiting for you. Really.
Comic Con acts are gross and flimsy. Why did she sound sadder? Why would she put on lipstick if she was really grieving? And wasn't she too old to be the mom of a 6-year-old kid? They were convinced that something was up.
How are you holding up? I mean,
I most of the time I'm kind of numb, I think every mama out there can relate to the fact of how long it takes to create a baby, those 9 months, that you watch every ultrasound and every heartbeat, and it takes 9 months to create a human being. And
to create a human being? Is that normal speech?
No, well, I honestly, I have children, and I have thought that kind of thought before, how much, you know, how much energy and money you put into children. I've sort of thought that, so it is.
As a man, okay, but as a woman delivering a baby, you say create? I mean, it sounds strange to me, but I'm not a native speaker, so.
No, it's not normal speak. It's not normal speak. It's over the top speak. And the fact that she can talk in such a emotionless way about a child who's allegedly murdered is ridiculous as well.
I mean, the first point, of course, it is ridiculous that you would talk about it anyway to a reporter. Yes. I mean,
just the idea that this is a made-up statement and it doesn't really carry any message with it. Why would she have to make excuses that she worked very hard where there is a guy who killed her baby? She doesn't have to make excuses. She's just going to say, he killed my baby, motherfucker. You know?
Yeah,
you have to quit. Took me 9 months to create. No, it doesn't matter how much it takes to create. Like, this point itself is made up. It's nonsense.
Yes, it's... Like what Ed was saying, it's there's no emotion, so it is like a substitute for an emotion, right?
The other thing that's amazing that people should note, and this is characteristic number 5 million of a HRD PAR, hyper-realistic journal portrays real psyop, and that is that what are the chances that somebody involved, some victim of a crime would immediately drop all the mourning and get over it and become a crusader for whatever cause the event was highlighting. How many people get active in politics, local, national? How many people become crusaders? I don't think that when you're a victim, you automatically flip over into a crusader, a lobbyist, an influencer overnight. Most people are not extroverted in that way. It's a very, very, very low number of people that become an activist ever for any reason. And I don't think victims automatically can just turn over and become activists within a short period of time. This is another feature of all these events.
Yes.
Instant and activists. Create a hoax, make 10 activists or even radicals. It's a radical thing to show your face and do media campaigns and talk to Anderson Cooper. It really is. Very unusual.
And
but every single hoax creates one or two or three.
I mean, all the time. But did you notice the subtle psyop placement there as well? And it's a pity that John Le Bon is not here because she said ultrasound.
Ultrasounds are big money, and I don't know if they harm or do anything. When my experience with my first child was the ultrasound caused nothing but grief, because what happens is they take a picture of the fetus, and the person who does the ultrasound is not allowed to comment on what they're looking at. They're just the technician that's supposed to create the video. Only a doctor is supposed to look at it and say, this is this, this is that. But obviously people are anxious and they figure, well, since you can see everything right on the screen beside you, you may as well ask, hey, what are we looking at? What's the sex and all that? And I don't know if I've said this before, but with our child, the technician told my wife, I can't find the head. And my wife basically melted down.
Yeah.
She said, it was crazy. And she was so upset. And she had a friend with her, and they both agreed that was probably the stupidest thing that the technician could have ever said. And that's why they're supposed to keep their mouth shut and just say, I can't comment. But again, probably a totally unnecessary. What the hell are you going to do if you see something abnormal anyway? I mean, if there's some problem in an ultrasound, are you going to intervene and just go in there and it's just to me it's meddling in nature. And yeah, you could. I don't know.
Yeah, the only thing is the position. The position, I would say that if it's you know, head first, it's normal, and if it's bottom first, let's say.
They're doing ultrasounds very early on, 3 months. So there's
I know, and I'm not defending it or whatever.
3 months, I would think, but
no, yeah, sure.
It's too much information, is really, honestly.
I don't know if John Le Bon's thesis is right that it actually causes problems. I see it is there's a possibility because it wouldn't be good for anything if you put sound waves into something. I mean that it must have an effect, but I don't know if there's really tests and really like a scientific backup.
I think there might be.
Well, I don't. I personally don't think it's harmful.
I think it's a microwave, isn't it? I don't know. I think it's a sound wave.
Electromagnetic is a microwave.
I think you must have heard this.
It's sonar.
Barcelo. Sonar.
Yeah, sonar.
And you see them wriggling around. I watched three ultrasounds. Well, I think it's meddling. I don't reckon it's good. Doing them any good. Because you see them wriggling around as soon as they do it. So,
it would be like playing AC/DC loud in a swimming pool, and you are in the swimming pool.
Yeah. I guess. But I think he's been the
same. Well, I don't think any harm.
Janice Barcello or something or other? She's the one that circumcision and ultrasounds, and she's doing a lot of research on that at the moment. She's on a lot of podcasts. She's the one that's doing all that stuff that he's probably heard.
Well, circumcision sounds very interesting. Sound waves, I don't know, like I just did a few ultrasound CAT scans or whatever, and, you know, just sound waves, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe developmental stages could be affected somehow in a funny way, but it would be something, you know.
Well, circumcision is 1,000% guaranteed non-fakeology. Pain fucking.
Oh, let's not go into that. In fact, let's resume now. Let's not go into that. Come on.
Let's cut the discussion here. Yeah.
Let's resume. This is the beauty of having an audio.
For an AR-15 to take that away from the surface of this earth.
This reference to guns was another aha moment for conspiracy theorists. Some of them started digging into Veronique's life, looked up her maiden name, and then said, hey, look at this. There's a Swiss diplomat who has her exact same name. And even fishier, this diplomat once went to an arms control summit at the United Nations. So maybe they're the same person. Maybe she's one of those elite globalists trying to make guns look bad so President Obama can repeal the Second Amendment.
Now, I never heard that. Part of it. I never really heard of her. I know Lenny, but I never heard of her.
Oh man, I heard this theory. I was under the impression lady who is whatever ambassador who was anti-gun. That was a story out there, absolutely. No.
Well, is it true? Was that the same woman?
Let's hear. Maybe they're gonna dispute it, but well, I was surprised they're bringing it up.
You know, I've never heard of it, so I didn't think they elaborated much.
I remember there were photographs of her in a dress, in this nice dress, and going to some meetings or whatever. Maybe I was wrong, but I don't know.
All right. Someone else can resume it.
Suddenly, every real sentiment Veronique shared about Noah was getting reinterpreted as lines from a sinister script.
They were here, and they mattered. They all had families. And they matter.
And the kicker that cinched it for these conspiracy theorists? Anderson Cooper's nose. There's this moment when the tip of his nose disappears because of a digital glitch in the video. But CNN says was normal interference that happens with a live satellite feed. Just a couple seconds. But hoaxers wouldn't let it go.
They said that it's a green screen or a blue screen or whatever. So that was a fake interview, and Veronique was a participant of a fake staged CNN interview. That conspiracy theory was all over YouTube, and it was all over YouTube with Noah's image.
I've talked to parents who've lost kids in other mass shootings, and they've all been blindsided by online harassment from conspiracy theorists. The crisis actor claim is so common now. These attacks usually start almost immediately after victims are ID'd in the media. And parents who go on TV and talk about gun control, like Veronique, they get it the worst. Sandy Hook is when this really took off. Families get stuck fending off all this crazy hate by themselves. There just aren't that many resources for them, because law enforcement still hasn't figured out how to deal with most cyber harassment, and the tech companies aren't much help. So most families just try to ignore the conspiracy theorists and hope they'll eventually...
See, that's one thing they've done. That's a little bit of NLP programming. They've equated questioning with hate. That is a very dangerous equation. I think that's completely...
There is no questioning. There is absolutely our position. It happened because it happened because we say so, and here is Lenny who says yeah. Or it's hate because you don't agree that it... And, yeah.
Two things. One, I think that they purposefully staged Sandy Hook so blatantly childish and amateuristic, including repeating lines to make this case, to let this happen, to let this ball rolling, and so they can complain and they can pull out the Posners live on TV to complain about these things. And the second is, and that is what I wanted to say about this New Zealand so-called shooting, they have a new strategy, which I call the teasing, taking, threatening strategy. So they tease with a video on Facebook Live. I don't know if that was true, but I think so. Then the people watch it. Then they take it down, and they... start threatening you like they did with you and your website. And I read the conditions by WordPress, and nowhere there is any ground to take that down. So if you would be serious about this and you would hire a lawyer, a good lawyer, like $1 million lawyer or someone, right? You can make the case and sue WordPress. You're not going to do that, but there is no ground in these conditions, these terms and conditions. It says that you cannot glorify, I use glorify, they use another word, but you cannot glorify violence, but you are not glorifying violence by just sharing a video.
By the way, have you noticed that they said that they're really taking the semi-automatic weapons from people in New Zealand? Like, it's going to happen, it's happening, it's already in the making within 10 days?
My
friends were all mad, you know, freaks years ago.
Yeah.
And my brother still does a lot of shooting and does, you know, the pistol, that combat pistol thing where you run around shooting things that pop up and down. And it was extremely hard to get a license anyway after the Aaron Moana shooting.
You had to
go to the police station. This was years ago, 20 years ago, you sit with a policeman and they evaluate you.
Yeah.
And it's even harder now. But now they've made it so bad over there, people are just walking in and handing the guns in because of this operation.
Yeah.
It seems like they're not bullshitting, they're doing things. It's huge.
You've got to have the floor on the ground. Your average gun safe is worth a fortune, you know, like it's got to be bolted to the wall and to the floor.
They have a registry? We had a registry in Canada for a while after our Hoke shooting.
Oh, absolutely.
Years ago.
Yeah, no, it was
a long gun registry, not a handgun registry. It was just for long guns.
Yeah, because guns are so common over there, they used to be, it's very rural, you know, so.
Yeah, you need a gun.
And hunting is huge, huge over there. It's deer hunting, and but so semi-automatic rifles with I thought they already were illegal, but obviously you could get a special clearance for them. Because those guns that this guy had, apparently, he got them legally. I find that hard to believe. But.
Yeah, I see a lot of parallels with the war for drugs. So this is the war for guns.
Yeah.
They could confiscate the legal ones, or they in drugs, they confiscate a small amount, and then they sell it on the black market for a much higher amount. And that's what they do with these guns, too, I guess.
Well, when they did, the guns that were used by, allegedly by the Tasmanian shooter, had been handed into police legally in Victoria after a gun amnesty, and he somehow was, those guns that he was using, one of them at least, had come from that, you know, that suddenly popped up back again. So, and all the guns, then our weaponry, semi-automatic weaponry and stuff, was all given to Indonesia when it was all taken off everybody, or sold to Indonesia.
All right, shall we resume?
Yep.
Go away. And that's what Lenny did for a while. His life was a wreck. But after about a year and a half, they were still at it, and he couldn't let it go anymore.
I realized that the grieving requires, you know, a calmness and a silence. And all of this material was a distraction for me, and it was noise. And I needed to handle that noise so that I could have the silence and calm that I needed.
There's this photo I love of Lenny with his arm wrapped around Noah. He's got a walrus mustache, and he's kneeling on a trampoline with a soft smile. It's spring. And Noah has all this big brown hair, fat cheeks. He's snuggling his whole body into Lenny's chest. Lenny's got tons of family photos like these, posted them in an online memorial he made for Noah right after he died. But Sandy Hook deniers downloaded them and repurposed them into cruel memes, wrote fake across Noah's face, took a picture of his headstone and photoshopped under his name, "Is not buried here." Photos of his daughters were circulating too. He couldn't just leave them out there on the web with the trolls.
By the way, I never saw any of those, but I would guess that anyone that would take the most contentious part of this hoax, for instance, manipulating a child's image and putting all that on it, they are definitely probably part of the entire operation because they're agent provocateurs. I don't think regular truthers / people looking into this would go to that kind of extreme or effort. I think the biggest people that are basically posing as in truth investigators are also part of the operation. They're the ones who are.
It is like the big nosed guy spraying a swastika on the synagogue, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they have these kind of operatives, of course. Yeah.
Imagine the fear they have. The fear makes everything exaggerated because there is people who are exposing them. And they gotta walk the streets, so they scared. They genuinely scared because people call in to, hey, if they're doing the crime, perpetrating crime on a population of country or even bigger than that, they usually stop at that level, then they're criminals themselves. Let's grab them and let's lynch them. I mean, that happens. People get angry at them.
Do you think we might see a resurgence of the AA Morris soil?
Yeah, I was thinking.
This would be a perfect time for a documentary to come out on the crazies, fake crew, the hoaxbusters, and the people that he's, you know what I mean? Like, it'd be a perfect time for a documentary, you know.
It could even be that he was participating in preparing this story
that's exactly what I think, because of his links with Bloomberg or...
Bloomberg. He admitted he was a journalist. I don't know. He said was a journalist for Bloomberg. Yeah.
Yeah. I reckon we'll hear within, you know, the end of the year there'll be something. I suspect that. It was too professional.
Yeah, I mean, he admitted that he infiltrated our communities. He used that word. And he made sure that we liked him. He spoke those words.
Yeah, right stuff. Yeah, it's some great stuff.
Call it great. It was.
Oh no, no.
It was interesting. I was interesting because he was talking about us, but I don't think it was any great.
Oh, no, I like some of the early stuff. I don't, you know, but anyway, I don't think
the volume of it was off the charts.
Yeah, I don't think we've heard the last of A.A. Morris.
All right.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, not under that name, but I think behind that, that's what I immediately thought when he so-called broke down. It was staged to yeah, as a project, and he called it an art project, but I think it was like for Bloomberg or something, because this was a full-time job. So.
It was like Ace Baker blew up, too, the guy that did the Great American Psy Opera, which was the September Clues clone. He blew up and went nuts and crazy and all that. That seems to be
I think he's connected with Jim Fetzer, which is an obvious psyop. And when they did that suicide on the air, Ace Baker and Jim Fetzer, it exposes them both as, like, they're pity shows. But it's fun. It's fun. They dedicate a lot of time, energy, and effort to try to brainwash and lead us astray. And it's not going to happen. It's funny.
Yeah,
but it's we are not the target audience. The target audience are the mothers and fathers that are agreeing with this American life, and that they get the message that we are crazy and we are harassing and we are hating and all that kind of those kind of
it's
words.
It's a plan B. It's absolutely a plan B. The plan A is the official story. The plan B is controlled opposition, like Jim Fetzer and.
That's true. The plan C
We had arguments last time about 9/11. I still didn't get, like, what is your position? What do you think destroyed the buildings? How did they turn into nothingness?
Controlled demolition of empty
controlled
towers.
Controlled demolition.
This,
but what about all the dust? What about the cloud of dust? So you think the lack of free pictures, because they have pictures from right after it happened on the same day where there's three stories of debris.
I don't know what images are real. If you don't trust any of the imagery, I don't know if that was really. I was.
I don't
there.
Think we.
I don't,
we
think, I don't
can,
think people could get near look, the look, area
if,
to take.
If we're gonna approach, if we're gonna approach, everything is fake imagery, then we cannot expose anything ever, because that's what we do. We use available images. Some of them are staged. That's an evidence of something as well. But the denying. Look, I had a guy. I wish I could meet him again because.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Okay.
If I can answer Nick, I like to make comparisons and analogs and so on. And what we can say about 9/11, this whole day and this whole event and so, is we can say what didn't happen, right? And we can make a part of a case about, we can speculate about what could have happened and how could they have done it, but we can never know the minutiae of what happened. I like to compare it. I mean, it's an enormously outrageous thing, the story, right? The presented story. So I like to compare it with, there's a story of a guy without arms and legs, and he claims he has climbed the Mount Everest. And he has photos, and he has videos, and then we can, first, logically and scientifically, let's say, prove that that is a very outrageous thing and claim that that couldn't have happened. And then we analyze the photos, and they show it's Photoshop and so on, right? And he did that from the 1st of May until the last day of May, let's say, right? But so it is not up to us to present a full timeline of that month of May where he has been if he didn't climb the Mount Everest, right? We can just prove with logic and science is that that is impossible. That story is impossible. And we can make the case, okay, he was in the studio and he was posing in front of a green screen and they photoshopped the Mount Everest behind and blah, blah, blah. We can make a case like that, but we can never prove from day to day what he did in that month.
That's right.
No, I think the problem is that we have evidence which is very, very fit. We had 110 story towers at the time they were built. They were tallest in the world. It's like a street block taken into the sky. They made out of a lot of hard material, like concrete, steel, and aluminum, other things. And after it happened, whatever blew it up or whatever happened to it, at that moment we questioning because there's a lot of fakery and stories. But at the end, we have no buildings, and we have a whole bunch of dust, and a lot of, like, to me...
Do you ever watch, I always post Controlled Demolitions videos from YouTube on the site, and they've got some pretty large buildings that collapse into their own footprints into a cloud of dust.
Yeah, those but they leave, know. They leave large percentage of the material as...
No,
pile of debris.
No,
there
no,
was none of
no,
that.
They don't. They don't. They really don't. Go watch them. Go watch. Try and find some of the biggest buildings in Detroit. Go watch them. They're, first of all, they're totally hollowed out. They clear them out completely, and then they collapse them. Go watch those videos. There's not much of a debris pile, I'm sorry to say. They're
yeah, and the thing is, of course, I mean, those buildings, what happens, usually they are emptying those buildings in about a month or so, right? And they are
right.
Placing detonations and so.
Yeah.
With the
yeah.
World Trade Center, if it really was an empty building or two empty buildings or more empty buildings, and I think that is there's a good case for that, then you had years and years and years to prepare
years.
It, right?
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
You don't need direct energy weapons. You just need a lot of detonation and stuff of military grade with normal detonation engineers don't have access to. I mean, we don't have any insight into that, right?
Yeah, and it was a trick that took years to set up. It's one of those magic tricks that it happened very quickly, and it took years to set up. And when those kind of tricks are done, nobody can believe it because they think, why put in that kind of effort to create a magic trick? Years for 10 seconds. Well, it would. Yeah. Well, most demolitions, if you watch them, they don't take very long, maybe 10, 15 seconds. And it's very hard to believe that anyone would spend that much time to create a magic trick. I think there was a Penn and Teller trick where they, I don't know, had thousands of cockroaches come out of a guy's jacket or something. Or a box, and it took a month to build the prop to do that, and therefore makes it very hard to believe that it was done. But it was done. I think it's the same idea.
I mean, even simple fireworks. If you have an organized fireworks, they build it up for a month or longer,
and
it's done in 20 seconds, right?
Here's the problem: if you have this 210 story, they're also very heavy. And if you have all those pieces fall into the ground as opposed to an idea, they turn into dust in midair. That's why they didn't hit the ground, the building. At least some pieces fell, but most of them turn into dust, as the video shows. But, you know, there's...
You don't believe
in
it.
Any case, there is this idea there is a bathtub. Well, again, it's Judy Woods. It's her statements. But I know that wall. I worked there. I know it was flooding. I know it was cracked and everything. If the buildings would have collapsed in their footprints, they would have collapsed, destroyed the bathtub, and then there is a train station underneath and metro underneath. So... I don't know. I think it's very question. I understand that you think that's what happened, but, you know, my observation led me to the idea that most of Judy Woods, except the Hutchinson guy who is a shill, who is a clown, most of the Judy Woods statement, I think they're correct, at least to a degree. And
well,
I also found that force.
You're still
No. Look, I went further and I found that that force is present in the world and it exists as a natural force. And it's probably the reason the way that the last catastrophe happened. So not just Judy Woods for me, it's just one stepping stone.
Okay. Yeah, for me, it is something you can only speculate. We can never know for sure. So I find it
when useless. You have tons of physical evidence like mountains, the shape of things, I think we beyond it's the best thing, the best evidence we have for is this event. Actually, is so much physical evidence that it's very hard to say, oh, it's just there because it's there because there is obviously. But to do that, I need to do a visual first. I got to show you visual that I'm talking about because there is an enormous amount. I can just use Google Map and
Judy
show
Wood,
you.
Judy Wood is the 9/11 scientific misdirection agent. She fooled me for a while, but the
Okay. If she's a misdirection.
Her explanation was no explanation, and I was listening to Fetzer at the time.
I disagree with that story as well. I dislike that about her, that she doesn't want the explanation. Yeah. Where is she misdirecting? Like, what is so...
With the directed energy weapons.
Impossible.
A directed energy weapon can't do that. A directed energy weapon, I think, can do some things. I know it does exist as a... named weapon. I don't know what it does. There's videos of it knocking people over or making people's hearing go nuts, or I don't know exactly how they work. But other than a few videos from the military,
What we're talking about is there is official physics. What I'm talking about, there is official physics that presents you with four forces and. Probably that they do describe there is a unification theory that all forces are...
I am so disdainful of physics and astrophysicists. I call them our modern alchemists.
I agree with you.
I have no respect for physics. And
I agree with you, but you cannot just go at science and disprove it without studying what is actually you're dealing with and why is it there? Why is it being told? Because the fact is, everybody goes to school and everybody studies those books and those books say exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not saying those books are saying the truth whatsoever. I'm the guy who disagrees with absolutely the most amount of stuff you can even imagine, more than probably you even used to disagreeing with. But at the same time, you know, anyways, I don't want to... I understand you have a different position. It's kind of hard, but I'm telling you, I'm not just empty-worded.
I have to believe in the Judy Wood theory because it was a great explanation.
It's not a belief, and it's not a just her
it
theory.
Is a belief.
My theory...
No, her theory is she doesn't have a theory. That's
I understand.
Theory.
And my theory that I work with incorporates some of the studies that Judy Woods did as well, but it's not in a way a major stone. There is so many other things that I look at, and they're all connecting, and they're all pretty much unified, explaining the different phenomena with the same terminology, with the same kind of, you know, something that unifies. I expose a lot of fake physics. I have videos that I go into physics. I expose how everything is a lie, why it's a lie, step by step. You know, many things, space as well. Not just space, like flat earth physics, but all kinds of physics, as well as, you know, geology. Geology is also physics. It's geophysics. I go into uniformitarianism. This is my main problem with all the theories. I want to, like, this is... very important because uniformitarianism gives us billions of years, hundreds of millions of years of evolution and so on. And none of that at that time is virtual. It's imaginary. It's the biggest lie they ever made by content, by the size of it, you know, because they are creating extra 13.7 billion years and that history. And geology incorporates it. They say it took hundreds of millions of years all of this to slowly come into being, and animals also evolved slowly over tens of millions of years, hundreds in some, in overall.
No, we can go into all kinds of big theories, but you can just go back to the basics and observations. And here in the Andes Mountains at 3 kilometers altitude, I find fossils that are marine. And they don't exist anymore. Not dinosaurs, but ammonites.
But
the question is, if plate tectonics and millions of years and so is not correct, okay, that's fine with me, but then explain the observation.
The fact that we have marine fossils at an altitude could tell us various things. The fact that it exists, I don't know. The biggest evidence we have is the geology. Most abundant evidence ever, physical, hard to fake, hard to move. Everything else could be faked. Geology in a big way.
I'm glad you bring up geology because we have our geologists here. Because
yes,
at least we have geologists that can refute you.
No, but the thing is, there are a lot of questions, and I like geological topics, but the problem I have is that until now, I haven't found anyone who can make a coherent case based on authority, but on observations, and makes an alternative explanation for those observations that makes sense and that is coherent.
Here it is. Geology believes there is good example Michael Steinbacher brings, which is metamorphosed rock. Metamorphosed rock means that it was on the ground. There are some rocks we can see by the crystallization rate, at how long did it take and everything. So there is this, what he calls geology as a magical elevator. Say there was a bunch of, you know, any kind of limestone or whatever rock that was above ground. And then somehow over millions of years, but it has to be short period because they see by the crystallization, it traveled down to Earth, down to extreme heat, extreme pressures there, and the chemicals. Sometimes it's the chemical liquids that make metamorphization happen under pressure with the temperatures underground. So it traveled several kilometers underneath into the crust, metamorphs there, just a part of the rock, because when you go to this metamorphs rock, you'll see mostly it's the same limestone or whatever, and then there is this piece of it, there's this veins or just this chunk of it in the middle, a few blobs that are metamorphs. And then after metamorphs, they quickly rose up to back to the ground, and now they're here so we can observe them. And geology, or for example, there is granites on the top of the mountain. You would have granite, and then you would be like, where's the rest of the basalt? Not even granite, say basalt or something very known that, you know, they say it's from volcano. So where's the rest of the magma flow? And it's gone. There is absolutely nothing.
Yes, erosion. Erosion happens all the time. Erosion happens all the time.
Exactly. So the story is 99% have eroded billions of years, and there's always this mystical geological explanation because millions of years of erosion or magic elevators. And I can bring you a whole bunch. I'm telling you, you should get familiar with Michael Steinbacher because he's way better in geology than I am.
You call it magical, but that is only because it's so... I mean, the Earth is magical. I agree.
Because we don't have evidence. Yeah. It's an imaginary.
No, it is a puzzle. And people say that geology
believes.
I mean, if you put 10 geologists in the field and let them make a map, you come back with 11 maps. Because everybody disagrees. And the National Geographic so-called geology they present is not representative of what geologists think. That is the whole point about the science. It is 50% art and 50% science, and people are frustrated about that there is not a definitive answer. And there is no definitive answer. It's very speculative. And there's nothing wrong with that. The National Geographic version of it, the Disney-fied version, or how you want to call it, that is not how the science and scientists. It is not, oh, the scientists agree about something. Geology is uniformitarianism. No, it's not like that. There are all kinds of concepts, lots of disagreements. If you read the scientific papers, they also disagree, and most of the opponents against this whole global warming BS are geologists. And why? Because they present a story which is fake.
You know what your solution is, and then start getting closer to that solution step by step. Otherwise, the problem is overwhelming, and then you just want someone else to fix it for you. You have to track down where you can make a difference and get closer to being less broken.
There was one other thing that made Lenny especially qualified to deal with the conspiracy theorists. He used to enjoy those theories himself. The classic fun ones. Bigfoot, Loch Ness, Area 51, NASA faking the moon landing.
Like, what's the fun of it?
It's suspending your disbelief. It's like sitting down and watching a science fiction movie and then looking at the what if. And it's just fun, especially if there's no price to pay in your life and there's no cost to that way of thinking, then it's just a game.
Sometimes he even listened to Alex Jones in his car. In fact, just a month after the shootings, when Lenny first saw those things on Alex Jones's website, he tried to reach out. He found a General InfoWars email address and shot him off.
What happened to the bot? Oh, no.
Playback finished?
What happened to the bot? The bot left. Who locked the bot out? Oh, that was it? Oh, okay. Zoom. Okay, I guess it was a short clip. Okay, well, we got the gist. Okay. Yeah, I see. We don't know the total length of these videos on YouTube, so I guess that was just a preview clip of the show.
Notice how they have a shill like Alex Jones, and way he acts, he's always used, he's a very good straw man, they're always going to bring him up. So here, this is an obvious misinformation agent and how they abuse a person. If you have an intellectual, because Judy Woods, I want to go back there, she's an intellectual, she's a scientist, too. You can hear it in her voice, she's talks very differently.
I would love to know if she's really at Rutgers and what her real reputation was.
She's crazy. I wrote to her. I wanted to talk to her. She decided that I was a shill, and she said I'm going to publish, it was the biggest...
She said that to everyone. She is clearly... disinformation agent.
She's a little bit deranged. If she was a misinformation, they would use her more. They're blocking her.
They're using her.
In New York.
Information agent. She is fantastic.
I disagree, but let's go on. Let's agree.
Information agent, then I wouldn't be collaborating with a million different people like you.
I'm just like you into exposing fakes. I found a million and a half. Everything is a fake. My views do not, I don't see her as a big agent, even though I see most of the people. It's not a big deal. Let's agree to disagree.
Let's agree to disagree.
Okay, you think so. I will not change my mind, but I'm not that bad with exposing agents and stuff. Alex Jones is just a joke, I suppose.
She is really good. Just to show the dance she did with Fetzer. And I'm not saying Fetzer is more believable than if he is an agent, he's the most believable agent. Now,
she dislikes Fetzer. I dislike Fetzer.
That's an act. You play an act.
She architects and engineers as an organization was created to counter the ideas that she was because she wrote her book. And right away, the biggest thing.
I know. They do the shill dance, the misdirection dance, to appear like they're all against each other when really they're all doing...
Yeah, that happens. But with Judy Woods, there she's forbidden. On 9/11 forums, architects and engineers, they have their she's absolutely banned off their platform. They usually promote each other.
That's part of it.
Anyways,
they're all working for the government, man. The government is trying to keep us from the truth, man. The government is trying to keep us from the truth, man. 100%, man. They're all paid shills, bro. They're all paid shills, man. They're trying to keep us from the truth, all right? There's always paid shills, man. They get paid a monthly stipend by the government. Tell us lies, man. They're all in it, man. All of them. If you have more than 5,000 YouTube subscribers, you're a paid shill. That's the game, bro. They're all paid shills, man. All of them. All right? Paid by the government to lie to us, all right?
I'll
say it right now. Yep. Paid to lie to us, man. They're all in on it. It's a game for them. They're all paid to lie to us, man. If you get to 4,000 YouTube subscribers, they make you an offer. You can't refuse. And now you're paid shill, man. They're all paid shills, man.
Dude, I was studying in a school. I was studying in a school.
We got Nick Exoteric. What a crowd tonight.
Look, I went to school. It was completely sponsored by Soros. He took all the best teachers from Soviet Union that fell apart, them, paid them a lot of money in one little school, and I attended that school. Does that make me a shill that
Operation
I listened to all these people? Not even... Yeah. Exactly. It's like Paperclip 2, and I listen to all these people. Like, I have no problem listening to their side of their story and then making my own conclusions.
Yeah, me too.
I'm used to having shills everywhere. I know it's the reality, but I have to make my own stances somewhere, and that's where I do it.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah, but Nick, Nick, can I ask you a question, man? If I came to you and I said, hey, Nick, listen, man, you got a couple of thousand YouTube subs in there, man. You're a big guy. We want you to join the dark side, man. We give you a couple thousand bucks a month, man. Would you consider their offer? Would you at least consider it before rejecting it, right?
I'm ideologically, I don't know, dude. I have a YouTube channel, but I specifically not growing it on purpose, not making it big. I don't put tags. I don't put titles on my videos. I tell people not to post my links. When people link my videos, I usually...
Well, I hate to say it, man, but you must not be very close to the truth, because it's still there. Even my little teeny-weeny channel got blasted away.
Yeah, because I'm not naming the video. As soon as I name it, I get shit for it.
Yeah, but Nick, let me tell you this, man. I listened to your interview, not interview, but chat with Fakeologist a couple of days ago, man. It's fantastic. Really enjoyed it. Great Fakeologist audio chat. It's fantastic stuff, man. You're a very lovely and easy to like person, let me tell you this. And you say that, I'm not trying to grow my channel. But Nick, no offense, man. As a fellow YouTuber, we're all trying to grow. What the hell are you talking about, man? You put something out there, you want as many people to hear as possible.
Different.
That's...
Like, no, I'm no, very no different. Offense, you can ask people on my channel. You can watch my live. I always tell them I do not want this channel to be big like others. It's going to bring censorship. That's why I still own. My channel is from, account is from 2011 or so, and I don't want it to get banned.
So hypothetically, if you could choose between one of your videos going viral, getting 500,000 views, or that not happening, what would you choose?
As soon as my video was going viral, it was Brussels 322 or whatever in 2016, and I made this video right away. First video didn't record, so I recorded a second one, a little delay, and it started getting traction as I'm getting thousands of views and a lot of like never before. And guess what happened? They banned that video and they gave me a strike. I couldn't do lives for 3 months. So I do not want big channel. I'm not qualified. I'm not even that person qualified.
Nick, that's fair enough, man. That's fair enough. Can I tell you though, man? I did have one video that went semi-viral, about 700,000 views, if you don't mind. It was about that. Remember that Ariana Grande event? Remember that bullshit fucking concert shooting a couple of years ago? Ariana Grande, remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I had a video, I was just being silly, man. It was like a 3-minute video where I pretended that the event was real, and it's a long story. Anyway, that video went semi-viral, and helps to make my channel much bigger and my website much bigger, blah, blah, blah. Dude, I never meant to be like a YouTube mini celebrity, but it did help, man. It helped, you know. So when I hear people like you say, oh, I don't want my channel to get big, why, man? If you've got a good message, and I think you do, of course you want your fucking message to get bigger. What are you talking about?
The only way I want my channel to get big if I find a good production team, people can make good videos, somebody to speak and to make...
You don't need a good production team, dude. You're a good speaker, man. Your English is perfect. Your message is good. You don't need a fucking production team. You just have to get your voice to more people, man. What are you talking about?
Okay.
I want to get Gary Sinise to do his videos.
Well, if he wants to keep the numbers down, he can get Rollo to co-host it with him.
Bro, you get Rollo on with his fucking dumbass sunglasses that he used to wear, and yeah, you'll keep the viewer count way down. Oh, but Exoteric, Rick there from the East Coast of Australia. Do you get what I'm saying, Rick? Like, if Nick has a good message, and I personally think he does, then you want more people to hear it. What's this bullshit? Oh, I want to keep myself small. What the fuck are you talking about, man? Get your message out to more people.
He's right, though. He's going to get targeted. He's better to get the people that want to listen to it rather than the masses and keep under the radar. Because, I mean, look what's happening at the moment. To the
But Rick, if I could ask you, man, if you could choose between one of Nick's videos going semi-viral, 500,000 views, or getting 500 views, what would you choose? I'd choose semi-viral, bro. I hope this motherfucker gets out to 500,000 people.
Oh, if it's good, I mean, that's what... You know, but if I didn't want it to, and it was mine, and I just wanted to do it, because I'm a bit like that, I'm not interested in, you know, doing anything like that. I do have a message to say every now and then, but I wouldn't want everyone in the world watching what my message was. I'd rather just go to the right people.
Rick, not just Nick, but even you, bro. If I could choose between Rick getting 500,000 views or 500, I'd choose fucking 500,000. I want Rick's voice getting out to more people. Same with Ab. OS is here as well. All of you guys, man. The more people hear it, the better. What's the problem?
In a perfect world where, you know, we're just the regular people and our message is just like the other people's message, is not too extreme truth as opposed to everybody being shipple, it sounds fine, but in this world, it's kind of crazy if you see the consequences.
I'm with you, Nick. I think I'm exactly the same. I don't want thousands of people listening to my message. Because the wrong people get into this and end up getting targeted for ridicule.
It was too bad, Rick, mate, because we had an audio chat on the Fart podcast the other night, and if I have anything to do with it, that motherfucker's going to be listened to by 500,000 people, all right? If I have anything to do with it.
I don't know. Press the, what's that thing? Apparently you can actually pay for, you know, there's all sorts of ways of getting your message out there if you want to by paying for it like that. What's that way you can get your business hyped up? There's some kind of...
Oh, yeah, you can pay people. But, dude, I thought we had a great chat the other night. It was fantastic. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Rick. I thought you, Rollo... Even Rollo was well-behaved. That's when you know that something's weird. When he behaves himself, that's when you know it's getting fucked up.
He's always well-behaved on that show. He's been told to be well-behaved. So that's why anyone can come on there. No one's going to get a hard time. No one. So it's more of a
relief. Even John got an easy ride. I thought you were going to rough him.
Dude, I thought they were going to fucking pile on me, bro. And that was so nice. They were friendly as shit. I was like,
hey, John Lamont, what's in your hand tonight? What's in your hand?
Sounds like a few times.
Leo's, mate. Leo's, mate, which taste identical to Carlton Draft. Honestly, they taste identical, man. But they're half cost.
Oh, I know.
It's like drinking Carlton Draft for fucking $2 a bottle.
Do yourself a favour and go to Vietnam after you've been there for even more fun and cheaper drinking. Way cheaper.
Bro, they're going to kick me out of here soon enough, man. This is a crazy country, man. I'm not suited for crazy countries, man. I'm too reckless, eh?
Hey, John Lamont, have you done a proper drunk cast yet?
Yeah, with these guys at the Fart podcast. Just wait till you hear it, man. At the start, I was reasonable. By the end of that podcast, which you'll hear in a couple of days at fartpodcast.com. Hey, Rick, what's your domain? Rick, what's the domain?
Say that again.
What's the fartpodcast domain?
Oh, fartpodcast.com. fartpodcast.com.
Fartpodcast.com. Yeah, you go to fartpodcast.com, man. In a couple of days, you'll hear me. I started off fine. By the end of that podcast, man, I was fucked. You'll hear it. Trust me.
Apparently, it went quite late, but he's lost. But you're lucky because it got cut off at 3 hours. So he's actually got a.
No, I heard oh, dude, Rick, get this, man. This is a fucked up thing, man. We thought Velocet had gone non-ice.
And he hadn't.
So me and Noise Level from Perth, we're just talking complete shit, man. Like, drunk, talking shit. Oh, it was fun. It was fun. It was great. But we thought it was just him and me. And then all of a sudden, like, for an hour, just talking shit. And then all of a sudden, Velocet's like, yeah, boys, I'm going to bed. It's like, well, we thought you already did. Like, have you been recording? And he's like, yeah, I've been recording. And I was like, bro, you got to cut this shit out, man.
He lost it. Don't worry. It's gone.
I hope so, man. I hope so. We got really drunk, man.
It's 3 hours. So he just needs to record a new ending because he lost that as well. So he's going to do that and he'll put it out.
But it's like, you know, sometimes you get drunk and you talk shit on Discord and you're like, think it's private? Like, you prefer that it's private, you know? Like,
it's terrible when you suddenly find out that it's being recorded. And that's what
exactly.
used to do.
Dude, it was horrific. I was like, no, dude, you can't fucking broadcast this, man. This ain't broadcast material, eh?
No, you don't want to. When you go stream of consciousness, it's a lot more interesting, but it's also very dangerous if you don't.
Well, especially when you're trying to fucking run an online business, Rick. Like, this is kind of my income stream here.
you don't
kind of jeopardizing my fucking income stream, bro.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to come in and fucking interrupt me. Like, Nick, dude, seriously, I listened to that 5-hour podcast with Nick. That was fantastic, man. You, even when you chat with Gaia, listen, Gaia's a weird dude, smart, man, but I seriously enjoyed that chat. The Gaia Nick thing, I seriously enjoyed it, man. Now, you could say, oh, JLB, you only enjoyed it because you were fucking drunk as shit, walking on a beach in fucking tropical paradise. That's true. I was listening to that podcast in tropical paradise, but it was enjoyable. So Nick, man, you're an interesting dude, man. And even Guy, man, that was a really good chat that you guys had the other night. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, man. I did put a lot of time in research. I'm a very unusual person. I just spent like past 10, 12 years doing research, and I came to a whole bunch of, you know, revelations. So
I give you one piece of constructive criticism? Next time you talk to Gaia, what you have to say is, Gaia, do you understand? You could take a rock from near a river and put icing on it and then a candle. You understand that rock will never be a cake.
No, I love geology.
That rock will never be a cake. And then Guy will say to you, I'm a geologist.
That's fine. I understand it. But I love geophysics, man. That's one thing that I'm interested in. All kinds of physics.
Dude, Guy's a great guy, man. If I met him in real life, man, I reckon he and I would have such a good time. People on the internet are weird, man. They're more... Not all of them, but some people are, like, more looking for a problem. In real life, man, people are cool as shit, man. I reckon if I met... What do you reckon, fakeologist? If I met Guy in real life, man, I reckon we would have a fucking epic time, bro. It'd be great. It'd be awesome. Same as Rick. Like, Rick was cool the other night, too. Like, we chatted on the Five podcast. But Rick and I have had, like, a bit of a disagreement in the past on the internet. If I met Rick in real life, it'd be fucking epic, man. It'd be like, I'd be like, Rick, put your fucking wallet away, cunt. I'm paying for it. No, I'll pay. No, fuck you, I'll pay. Fuck you, I'll pay. That's what it'd be like.
I'd straight away say thank you. I won't be arguing. But we're all the same. And we have, you know, we had the four of us there at Rollo's place recently. And it's very strange when you're actually in the same room as all the voices. There's a real
that
weird
thing.
That
would be very strange. It is
really strange. And like I didn't think, like Noise Level, I didn't know what he was going to look like. And he completely didn't look like anything I thought he was going to look
like.
What
were you expecting?
I don't know. I really don't know. But he ended up, you know, he's a big...
Is he like, taller than you thought?
No. He's 6 foot two. So I knew he was big.
Yeah, he sounds like a big guy.
Does he, Ab? Yeah. Oh, you can tell that, can you? You can just
he's very boisterous.
His voice echoes through his whole body. It's so big.
Yeah, Yeah, it is, very much so. And it's really strange. We're all sitting there. I mean, I've met Rollo loads of times. I've met Illicit once or twice, but it was really weird when you actually hear the voice coming out of that person. And you're so used to... And I've heard in a few podcasts recently, people have got people that haven't... They've done a podcast with someone for 3 years or 4 years, and suddenly they sit in the studio, and it's a completely different vibe. Because, you know, it's a person... There's a real difference between personally being there and talking online. It takes a while to get used to, I think.
Sure. But, so Illicit was taller than you expected? How about noise level? Is he what you expected?
He just didn't look like he was, but he sounds exactly the same. but yeah, really, really nice guys. And it's a really nice time, you know, sitting around, but it is very strange when you meet your...
Well, bro, you spent the weekend with Illicit. I caught up with him like the day after, man, was when I was in Sydney.
Yeah.
And the way that he recalled the stories to me, I was like, man, I wish I was there. Like, he spoke very highly of a whole lot of you. It would have been awesome to be there.
Well, they were going really silly, so I just took off. I'm a bit straight these days, so I just went to bed at, like, midnight. I was 1 or 2, I think 2 o'clock. And, I mean, these guys were going for 2 days. So it's nothing I could do. And I got up and took off as fast as I could, you know. It was like... I've got a life that I have responsibilities.
They're extreme.
Responsibilities? Oh, they must suck, man.
Oh, they do. But I waited until I was 40-something to get responsibilities. So I was spun up till 40-something. So you got to get them eventually, otherwise you go mental. I think it's good to get responsibilities later in life.
Dude, maybe responsibilities help you to, like, not fucking jump off a balcony. Because sometimes I look at the balcony and I think, man, I've got no reason to be here. Got no family, friends, career. Maybe I should just fucking go for a little dive, man. Maybe responsibility is keep you straight and narrow.
First consider if you go and you break your back or half of your body, but you're going to be alive.
Paralyzed.
How
and
fun is going to be paralyzed? Dude, suiciding is no joke, dude. Don't
hey, Nick, speak to them, man. Can I ask you a question? I don't mean to be tangential. Nick, can I ask you a question? Just you and me, just right now, quick question. And actually, Rick and Ab, if they want to answer, that'd be awesome as well. Nick, do you believe the Iraq War... was a real war? Do you believe there were men shooting each other? The Iraq War, either of the wars, the early one in the 90s or the late one in the 2000s? Nick, do you believe it was a war? No, I'll shut up. I'll put myself on mute. What do you think?
90% propaganda, maybe 95%, maybe 98%, and few percent of a real action, people confused by that propaganda and something.
Yeah, you got to media. Driving in the desert, going into places that you're not welcome in. I mean, there's always going to be front. The people that do all the fighting are the ones that the commanders that run around doing all the clearing out and stuff like that.
The official story of the Iraq War was there was no real war. There was no real opposition.
Right. That was we're talking about the special operations. Yeah.
The official story was not an armed conflict, and then it became an occupying force, and then it became a bit of a guerrilla war situation, I suppose, where people were just taking pot shots at the tour of duty going down the main street. But there was no real in the trenches war. They said that. It was over after, well, they credited shock and awe to end the thing.
You remember that CNN guy in the room? Supposedly of old talent, the rockets go all that crap.
That was in Saudi. He was supposed to be in Saudi getting...
And the Highway of Death. You guys have seen the photos of the Highway of Death, which supposedly had skeletons in buses trying to get out of there. Like, you've seen the Highway of Death. That was the big selling point of the Americans murdering the Iraqis trying to get to Kuwait. You've seen this stuff? Man, it's fucking Terminator 2, Judgment Day, Hollywood bullshit, man.
So, Nick,
sorry to interrupt. I'll shut up in a second. So, Fakeologist Ab was a guest on the Member Skype calls at johnlebon.com. He was a terrific guest. The whole call is available for free. You don't have to sign up. Fakeologist special guest, episode 24. And I said, Ab, man, you're a Fakeologist. Do you really believe war's real, man? Like, do you believe it's real? And I will let Ab speak for himself, but his answer was basically, yeah, I do kind of believe war is real. I'm like, bro,
I don't believe war is real, man. I think it's all fake as shit, man. There's no Iraq war. There's no bunker buster bombs, man. This is bull fucking shit. It's all fake. But you know what, man? Even among fakeologists, that makes me crazy. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'm crazy. I don't know. I'll shut up. I'll put myself on mute for 2 minutes.
I would agree with you for the most part.
You're slightly crazy.
I don't get crazy about these things. I don't care if we agree. I had too many guys
that got involved with different things at Northern Ireland and Falklands and bits and pieces. And Falklands was a real joke, but there was still people getting...
Another uneven war.
They went in there and shot people up, though. My next-door neighbour was, decorated there, but he said basically they captured a lot of people that were surrendering.
Right.
When they got there.
It's totally uneven war. Totally.
Yeah.
When we engage the military against so-called combatants, they just call it a war. What else would you call it? An exercise with real people? Capture, an invasion? I don't know.
Strategic relocation and demolition, bro.
I know, but that's war what, is just a catch-all phrase think about it.
But, my great uncles were on Crete, and, When you go to travel there, one was in the prisoner of war camp in Germany. All New Zealanders got wasted over there, and they're still to this day. Though, if you go to the, well, maybe the very old ones, but if you say you're from New Zealand and Crete, you're going to face it big time because they were the only guys that went over and kind of helped fight the Germans when the Germans invaded. So he was definitely captured. He used to talk about it. There's nothing spectacular about it. He'd said a friend of his, they were holding a friend up, and they saw when the Germans took it over. I heard all the stories. Things happen. It's like a big chess game, moving people in, moving people out. And people get killed, for sure. So, yeah, I'm with it. But not to the stories we hear, that is for sure.
Do you believe Saddam Hussein was like a real rogue leader? Do you believe that?
He would have been just put in there by the CIA. I remember seeing all the photos. I remember the news years ago seeing, he was actually a good guy for a while there. And then when they decided not to use him, I know
at least one Iraqi who left, and the people loved him. And this person was not even a Muslim. This person was a Christian, and he protected the minorities, and the people loved him. They didn't care what methods he used to stay in power, as long as they were okay and not attacked as a minority. So.
Yeah, they've all been put in there. I mean, if you read the book, greatest book on this is the book by the police drummer's uncle from the CIA. The fantastic book about their plotting and what they did from 1949 to...
Yeah, but, Rick, do you believe that Saddam was really in charge of Iraq? Or that Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was in charge of Iran? Or that Kim Jong-il was in charge of North Korea? Do you believe this stuff?
As much as
Scott Morrison's the Prime Minister of Australia, he's basically just a representation of the banks and stuff like that. We know for a fact that all Australians' leaders have been vetted and put in there by the CIA or whoever for years, because of their American base. With the program, if they're not with the program, they find out what happened to Gough Whitlam, you got thrown out.
Scandal.
Yeah, or a scandal will happen, for sure. Yeah. And we've had so many prime ministers lately, it's not fucking funny.
Like tissue paper.
Literally. So, but of course they're not the actual, they were popularly elected leader that was, of course they're just a figurehead that's there for a time. And whether they died or not, I'm quite prepared to say that they didn't die.
Rick, is these people who are like, oh, 9/11, man, they faked it to justify a war in Iraq. I'm like, bro, that war was fake too, so they don't have to fake 9/11 to fake a war, bro. The war itself is fake. What are you talking about?
You've got to get the taxpayers, though, to agree with what they do. That's why they spend so much
time. Dude, taxes, man. Come on. Taxes are a hoax, bro. Like, listen, do you believe the U.S. is in, $10 trillion of debt to who, bro? That's a hoax, man. That's bullshit. Who do you think audits this stuff? Who's auditing all of this national. It's a joke, man. It's a fucking complete joke, man.
It is a joke. But to get the message, just remember, there's a very, very, very small amount of them, an awful, awful lot of us. And if we got cohesive and all said, hang on a minute, what's going on there? And schools
dude, if we got cohesive, no offense, I don't mean to interrupt, I apologize for interrupting you, but if we got cohesive, bro, you can't even get fakeologists on the same page. And that's not a criticism of fakeology.com. Even at johnabond.com, bro, there's 100 members there. How many do you think agree with me about the history hoax? I'm telling you right now, it's less than 50%.
I'm here. Dude, I reckon, on many subjects.
More than half of my own members, of my own people who pay me money for my website, I reckon, honestly, anywhere from 25 to 70% of them still believe in ancient Greece. And I'm like, guys, I've fucking shown you. It's a hoax. They still believe it's real, yeah? Humans don't...
Do you mind if I butt in?
And agreeing on stuff.
Oh!
Do you mind if I butt in?
Yes,
butt in. I'm Rollo from firepodcast.com. you can go on Discord and there's John LeBon on johnlebon.com.
Hey, Rollo, can I tell you, man, man, but honestly, the other night was so much better than I expected. I thought you'd be a retard.
You were terrific.
I thought Rick was going to be a problem. Dude, you guys were awesome, man. Thank you very much, man. The pair
you
of
were,
me,
you
I
were
really
on top form. You know
it.
Why you're on top form? Because you're in Phuket.
No,
you're in Phuket. Having
man.
A good
like
time.
Right now. No, you guys are
hey,
awesome.
I just rang John Laws.
Thank you very much.
I rang John Laws yesterday.
Fucking ring Laws, you mate. He's a jury.
No, no, no.
Bro.
Listen.
He's 80
John,
years
John,
old, man.
John, give me a sec.
Leave the cunt alone.
Hey, kids, leave that cunt alone. Hey, John LeBon. he just spoke to the, what was it? There's an election coming up this weekend, a state election.
Dude, in Thailand, there's a fucking federal election. Last time, 5 years ago, there was tanks on the road, right?
Yeah, but the second I said,
I want to criticize the government in Thailand. We're not allowed to criticize the
I
government.
Know.
So,
dude,
that's
not
allegedly.
Behave yourself
true.
When you're over there.
I'm tempted to test that out.
Don't test it. Just test the cocaine, because the cocaine over there is wonderful.
John, go into a state box and say that you don't think the Queen...
Listen, a friend of mine, not me, I would never do this. A friend of mine accidentally tested out the weed here, and he spent the next day paranoid as shit. Like,
don't do
more
the weed.
Paranoid
do the cocaine,
and
the cocaine.
You know anxiety? You know anxiety is like when your brain is telling you bad things? My friend, not me, never me, I would never do this. My friend spent the next day anxious as shit because he bought some weed and sprang to me. I was like, man,
too strong.
I would never do
it's
that.
Too strong. It's a lot stronger than the stuff we have here in Australia. So basically what I was saying to, sorry to cut you off there, John LeBon from johnlebon.com, telling the truth isn't what governments want. Like, he played Go West again, John Laws. Yesterday, can you believe he plays that song on his program? Like, Go West is a gay anthem, right? And I asked him to play Domino Dancing, because when I saw them live, the Pet Shop Boys, back in 1993, and they played Matadors getting gored, like on the back of the big screen behind them, Matadors getting gored one after the other. Here we go. Fakeologist.com. Go West.
Fakeologist.com.
Joel, are you seeing somebody about your mental problems? Yeah, I'm speaking to fakeologist.com.
Roland, I have a fakeologist bot in here, so you can play anything off YouTube now.
Hey, Ab, nice to hear you. I dedicate Go West.
Did you hear what I just
especially
said?
to 1269 to SM Super Radio Network, John Laws. Thank you, Ab.
I have a new bot in here.
Yep.
So you can play.
I know how it works.
No. Yep. Okay.
Hey, Ab. The thing about you, and this is what I want to talk to, I'll talk to John Laws tomorrow, because I want to make it the centerpiece of Fart Podcast next Saturday night.
Yeah. Why don't you just leave Laws alone, mate? He's a fucking...
No, literally,
a geriatric. Look up the definition of geriatric.
He's a stalker. He's a stalker.
Give me a sec. Let me say my bit here on fakeologist.com. This Brenton Tarrant guy, you know, that did this shooting in Christchurch, and what's
Rollo, nobody died, nobody got hurt. You know that.
Yeah, I know that. So let's go through this methodically, right? So as far as I can tell, now, Ab had the video on his site. Ab was threatened for the loss of fakeologist.com, the loss of his WordPress account. And that was the thing that really annoyed me. And then after that, there's the wedge that the West are throwing in between, what do you call it, the Islamic and the West. And then they're going for a cheap gun grab afterwards. That's what they're going for. They're going for a cheap gun grab. Now, this Jacinta Ardern, their New Zealand Prime Minister, is saying 14 years just for Ab. Hold on, Rick, for a sec. Ab, you could get extradited to New Zealand and spend the next 14 years in prison.
Rollo, there's no legal basis for it.
All right, we're all talking.
There's not enough room in the prisons over there anymore.
I'll tell you right now, Rollo. Nobody got extradited. Nobody got hurt. That's a lot of nonsense.
That's right. So let me just continue, and then I'll let Rick go, and then you, John LeBron. So, here, I'm Rollo from fartpodcast.com. Look, I am damn sure that this is a wedge.
H-R-D-P-A-R.
Hard par. Hyper-realistic drill portrayed as real. And Ab posting it on his site, and Ab writes specifically, I don't want snuff films on there, but I looked... And I've got a copy of it. I downloaded it as soon as I saw it on Fakeologist before they decided, oh, this is offensive or whatever. And it looks like puffs of air. And the people are already down. And he's shooting through
jip beanbags.
And why is the magazine there early? How come he can take a magazine from the floor before he's walked through the hallway? Explain that to me.
Yeah, I know. Give me an explanation, Rollo.
You can't.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, when he's...
Nobody died, nobody got hurt, period. That's a fact.
No one died. No one got hurt. And there were a set of shoes. There was a lovely guy called Nightly News that pointed out the shoes with the woman in the gutter. Or the man or the body in the gutter.
Yeah, people do wear shoes, though. That's not convincing evidence. I don't know about you, Rollo, but I do wear shoes, man. When I put on socks and shoes, people wear shoes, bro. That's not evidence. But how come there's a magazine waiting there in the hallway? How do you explain that? Go on.
Give me an explanation.
How come this motherfucker walks into a place...
It was a bonus point.
Okay, their explanation, and he says it down in the video, actually, and it's not my position and their position, that he dropped that gun, and I saw people video review magazine. He dropped that magazine as he entered, and then he picked it up, and he mentioned it on a stream, like, oh, you drop it, first you have it on easy access, and then you drop it, you get fucked. But it's hard to tell with this accent. What the fuck?
Yeah. The most interesting
Nick, the story is that he drops the magazine.
Hey, John, let's talk.
One of the more interesting aspects of this PSYOP is the manifesto.
And he mentioned PewDiePie.
Manifesto actually did a pretty good job going through parts of the manifesto. To me, that was the most interesting because that is sort of a reflection of the script, which is the way they want the majority, or maybe it is the way the majority feels about immigration, all the things you like to talk about, It was actually the most interesting part of the whole thing. And, of course, nobody talks about the manifesto because nobody has the attention span to go through. But he did a whole Q&A in the manifesto, the simulated shooter. It was quite interesting. Listen to the last No Agenda show if you want a taste of it.
Well, I have to say, it was lovely to listen to you speaking with Napoleon about how much you love immigrants. You're a big fan of immigrants. You think immigrants are great. They're fantastic. I was like, man, this immigrant guy loves immigrants.
We went over that, John. I agree with you, John. Yeah, we went over that.
Okay, that's good. Well,
what's wrong with immigrants? Look at New York. It was built by immigrants.
Italians
was a problem. Then they said Irish.
No. Yeah. That's a false dichotomy. It is not about immigrants.
Okay, we're not.
It's about enforced, weaponized migration flows. That's a different thing.
Well, I'm not talking. That's not the subject here anyway today. That always triggers.
I will share the manifesto here now.
But take a listen, read it or listen to it. It's quite an interesting Q&A. John and Adam from the No Agenda show broke it down. It was pretty interesting. You'll never hear that anywhere because no one has the attention.
No, I don't listen to those clowns, man. I listened to you and I thought, man, Abby's making a great case for why we should have more Asians in white countries. This is great. I was like, man, Abby's making me feel guilty that I'm white in the first place, man. We need more Asians in white countries. That's what we need. You convinced me, man. It was great.
Good. I know you're being very sarcastic.
They integrate. They integrate, man. They integrate. They don't have children. They've integrated. And white people should just fucking get used to having Asians in white countries, man. Make us all nice and happy. Hey, by the way, I'm in an Asian country. I'll tell you this right now. I'm broadcasting from Thailand. You know the Thais treat each other better than they treat the whites, or the Farang, as they call them.
Botpodcast.com.
You're listening to another hour of
Botpodcast.com.
Botpodcast.com.
John LeBron, this is just a commercial for other podcasts.
You're listening to another hour. Sorry, Ab, to cut you off.
By the way, if you do sign up for $1.19 a month, you will never notice that cash disappearing.
Yeah,
why aren't more people signing up here at fakeologist.com? It costs you nothing. Imagine if Ab got his dinner with his wife, and his wife is like, yeah, why are you into conspiracies? Like, sweetie, you know these people to pay for this dinner every month, you know, like, If you are not supporting fakeologist.com, you're a bad person. That's my honest opinion. That is my honest opinion, man. If you knew
John LeBron, I think you are being a total retard.
Hey, John, I'm glad you're having a good time. Hey, hold on a sec.
Anything and everything can happen on here. That's why we have an official show. This is the audience.
Hey, Rollo, you know that
John, can you talk about your experience in Thailand? That's interesting.
Yeah, we always have that's a great question. Before I do, let me tell you, in Australia right now, Telstra, which is our largest internet service provider, our largest telecommunications company, they have banned ZeroHedge.com, 4chan, 8chan, VOAT, and archives.org. So in Australia, the regular person now cannot access 4chan, 8chan, VOAT,
they blocked it.
They've blocked it, yeah.
Yep. They've blocked it. You know why? Do you know why?
Well, supposedly because of this fucking New Zealand thing.
Yes! Morrison and fucking, what's the name? Jacinta Ardern. Threatening people with 14 years, her citizens with 14 years jail, just for owning a copy, and I've got a copy because I got it from fakeologist.com of the shooting.
Rollo,
are they going to extradite me? Hey, John LeBron.
Bro,
John
Rollo
LeBron from johnlebron.com.
Selling DVD copies of this fucking match.
Are they going to extradite me?
Rollo in Newcastle is selling $10 DVD copies. All right,
yep.
So this guy's a big criminal. Yeah, so in Australia, man, right now, the largest. So whatever country you're in, imagine your biggest telecom provider, which for Australia is Telecom, so that's what they're called. They used to be government owned.
Telstra.
We call them Telstra now. Imagine if they would say, no, we're going to block 4chan, 8chan, ZeroHedge, archive.org, man. Archive.org is
hard. That's where the That's where the Hoaxbusters is posted.
Yeah, they're harmless, man. They're harmless. So in Australia, man, that's how far the internet censorship is going.
Mostly harmless.
Now, yeah, they might say to me, oh, but JLB, it's easy to get around. Yeah, it's easy for me to get around, and it's easy for you to get around, because you know the internet. But most people are dumb as shit. Most people are dumb as fucking rocks.
Rick was trying to get a word in there. Let Rick...
You know, the other day, there was police, the police were on the central station, this time last week, they set tents up, and they were strip searching people with their dog, you know, doing the dog search of anyone that smelled odd, like they might have sat next to someone with a joint or whatever. They had a strip search thing set up in the middle of the day in central station. I mean,
Australia is very far gone, if any of that is wrong.
You know when we went wrong? When we believed John Howard in 1996 with the it's exactly the same thing. It was a cheap gun grab.
Port Arthur.
The guy, Port Arthur. Thank you, Guy. Guy, over to you, mate. Over there, Guy. Yeah, what do you know about?
We went down the tubes.
We did, because they took all their weapons off us, and only the government and their
good gun license, Rollo. You can still get a gun license. Removed our guns. That's a hoax. Right, that's not real. You can still get a gun license.
Not for civilians. The goons, the hired goons.
Civilians can
for
get
the
a
government.
Gun license. Yes, you can.
Not everyone, though, to fight back.
You can get a gun license. You can get our gun license, but you can't buy anything that's going to be military capable. It's just basically...
There you go.
You're just firing single shot, bolt action, rabbit rifles and stuff like that, and pig shooting guns. You can't buy get a mag with more than three rounds in it, like maybe five rounds or whatever. So
you're listening to Fakeologist on Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com. You're here with Rick, a Fakeologist, Gaia, John LeBon, Nick, Rollo, me, and I'll be right back.
Actually, that's good. This one thing about these hoaxes, they sure wake up the fakeologist community. The audio chats go wild.
This is being great for you, man. The last few days, you've got some fucking audio chats going. Before this event, this place was a ghost town, bro.
It's come to life,
hasn't it?
Crickets. Oh, yeah. It's fun. Hey, I guess we need each other. We feed off each other, the hoaxers and the hoax analysts. So... not that we want to do it, but...
How long before we get the Fakeologist site gets removed, though? That's the scary part.
I hope not.
Well, that's the point. Rick, that's a great question. That's the point I'm trying to make here. If Australian ISPs, Internet Service Providers, are now banning... Dude, Zero Hedge is bullshit, man. They're nothing. So if you can ban Zero Hedge, Fakeologist.com, JohnLeBon.com... No offense, Ad, but you and I, we're more extreme than Zero Hedge. So if they can ban Zero Hedge, then you and I are one click away from the
bar. How do they do the banning? They just create a blacklist? They just have a blacklist of names? Is that what they're doing?
I don't know the technicalities behind it. I don't know.
What is the legal basis? Right?
They ban it on GNS level. You can change to another GNS. Their provider bans them.
Okay.
So they block the access. Okay. But what is the rationale for blocking the access?
If you change your GNS...
Oh, because supposedly they shared the video. Their justification is, they shared the video, yeah?
I mean I think it's a great thing if tomorrow we all go to the museum... and we're going to tear down all the paintings of wars. They're propagating violence with those paintings.
Speak of what happened in New Zealand. We have seen the censorship of certain websites. This story from today, telcos block access to 4chan and other sites. Apparently it's Zero Hedge. Wow. Live leak, 4chan, 8chan, and vote. Now, my understanding is that some of these sites have been restored. We'll read through the story. But remember, a few years ago, there were protests in Turkey. The government blocked social media. What was the response from people when that happened? I'll show you. From TechCrunch, Turkey blocks social media sites again to stall protests. Here's how to access them. 2 years ago from TechCrunch. Now, the mainstream narrative at the time was that people should be allowed to talk about whatever they want, and the government shouldn't suppress that. Why is it different now? Look, I am no fan of the extremist rhetoric we see on these platforms, nor am I a fan of these individuals who post these things all day and create this echo chamber which results in this psychotic incident. Of course not. The problem is, do we empower governments to shut down discourse? It's mind-blowing to me. It really is. Think about this. Right now, we have this article from BuzzFeed. Anti-Muslim hate speech is absolutely relentless on social media, even as platforms crack down on other extremist groups. Is Christianophobia a thing? In the 2000s, when the left was making viral videos attacking Christian... I'm not exaggerating. There were viral videos of celebrities ragging on religion, saying that they were backwards, they were offensive, they were dangerous, and all of those things. That was allowed. And from that, we have LGBT rights in this country. Because one of the main bodies opposing it...
Let's see what else we got here.
Psychologist.com. It is the 21st of March, 2019. That was Tim Pool. Now, Tim Pool is a guy I respect.
4chan. And 8chan. And Vote. And
what's this?
Zero Hedge.
This is another guy.
That is all.
He sounds like a pothead.
Okay, so what am I talking about? I'm talking about Australian internet providers.
If that, no, no, just pause that for
a second.
Is he from
Sydney? Is he from Sydney accent?
Speech platform.
No, no, let him,
speech.
We'll let him go. Yeah, pause it. Yeah, pause it. Yeah. So the guy before was he's a guy called Tim Pool. He goes on Joe Rogan, and he's not a far right. He's not a far left guy. He's like John LeBon, I think. He's a moderate. He's
nothing.
Like and
he sounds like a Sydney. He sounds pretty.
No. Tim Pool, the one before.
Nothing against Sydney people. They're great people, but he sounds a little bit too well enunciated. My liking.
He says himself he's a leftist. He's a skateboarder hippie type of leftist. That's what he says.
But the thing.
Rollo, get into John Lord here, bro. Rollo, who's your ISP, bro? Who's your internet? Who do you pay for internet?
Exatel.
Who will they sell division of?
That's the provider.
No, Exatel, dude. Exatel aren't base level. Exatel are buying from somebody. Who are they buying
from? I don't want to go
look it up right now. I bet you it's Telstra Optus. Australia.
That's right. And the same, the thing that pissed me off was when AB got fake tube. What was it called? Jetstar or Jetstream or...
Optus, bro. Exatel uses Optus.
No, WordPress.
Hey, Rollo, can you check for us right now? Can you
WordPress
go to 4chan.com?
WordPress owns fake tube's hosting site.
Yes. So
Rollo,
can you give us a live
test right now? If you go to 4chan, does it work? Because officially Exatel, they buy from Optus, and Optus are officially banning 4chan, 8chan, the rest of it. Can you access 4chan? Can you test for us right now?
No, I can't. I'm not a goddamn...
4ch.net. It's easy, bro. Just look, fucking test it. I can't test this, man. I'm in fucking Thailand. I can't test your shit. But you can.
What do you want me to do? You want me to type
go to your browser and type in
for
the number, CH.
I've just done it. And
there we go. There we go. Rick. Help me. John LeBon.
It says server can't be found.
See? There you go. They're fucking
blocked. You can change your DNS server to Google server or any other.
Nick, yes you can. Nick, you can change your DNS, man.
Yeah.
But most people don't know how to do that. I know.
I'm just saying for you, if you want to access it.
Yeah, of course. But, I mean, what is the narrative in the mainstream? Is it China? Is it crazy and retarded country for blocking Facebook and Google? And they are. I agree. But what better country are you if you do the same thing? Yeah, you can find your ways around it, but like John said, 95% of the internet users don't know these methods. They're used to swiping and not to finding out stuff.
Yeah, the masses will not. The masses will not find the site.
It works. Right. It is working. It is an effective method, right?
Yep. Oh yeah. It works. It's very simple. The DNS block is very simple. And most people will not... I don't even know how to go around it on my smartphone. I'm sure there's a way, but I'd have to research it. be a pain in the nuts.
Yeah, and I think in all this discussion, and I like the Fakeology revival, let's say, but I think the effects of it are actually the most interesting part, because those are real, and we can check them out like we did now.
Yeah, they're real, yeah.
That they're real, and that is the essence of them. I mean, if it's a CGI video with disappearing bullets, or if it's a paintball gun, as I think, it, right? That is, in the end, that is not the essence of this at all.
It doesn't matter.
It's the social engineering aspect of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the real effects. Real Boeing planes are grounded over a fake event. We don't really know why. There could really be a software problem that Boeing refused to fix, and it's the only way they could get Boeing, a big corporation, to pay attention. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Real water bottles we cannot take into the airplane, right? You cannot pass them through
the security. Real effects. Yeah. The ways they achieve these effects are most likely fake, and they do it for a reason, just to really get worldwide attention. These Amber alerts we have when allegedly a father abducts his own child just because of some custody dispute or a judge's order saying a man cannot pick up his own child, they are done. These are broadcast on everyone's device, on every media, and
In the middle of the night for you.
It can be. Yep. The last one was in the middle of the day yesterday. That's the only way they get everyone's attention. That's a fantastic system they're using where everyone has to pay attention. I actually shut off the Amber Alerts on one of my phones, and it still went through because I couldn't shut off. It was an American phone I bought. I couldn't shut off the presidential alert. There's a presidential alert. I couldn't shut it off. It's grayed out. And the Amber Alert here in Canada came through. So even though I turned off Amber Alerts, it still came through and still.
Oh, good God.
Everyone's talking about it, whose phone was on or who was watching TV. I don't think they have Amber Alerts for computers yet, but it's
they're for normies.
Look what they are doing in schools. 1 minute silence. If you don't comply, then you are the outcast by definition.
Oh.
In a football stadium with 50,000 people, or hockey, or any sports event or whatever, 1 minute silence. If you actually, that Chapecoense flight, there were no people who died at that flight, then you are the outcast. You cannot do that.
Yeah.
It's social pressure, right?
It is. And it won't happen here at fakeologist.com or fartpodcast.com. It's still in post-production, last Saturday night show. You guys are great, and keep doing what you do, Ab. I'm going to take the dog for a walk. But, let me just say this. Jacinta Ardern, she put her in prison for 14 years. If she's going to threaten her citizens with 14 years jail, or extradite Fakeologist to New Zealand and put him in jail for 14 years. I will fight you every goddamn day of the week and twice on Tuesdays.
It's great because you have time to write a manifesto.
You should see the shit that's on Facebook, right, of everyone. There's the latest one someone just shared. How Jacinta Ardern went from DJ, who's got a picture of her next to a set of decks, to the world's youngest prime minister. All this bullshit stories. Did you hear what Vinnie Eastwood said about her?
Go for it.
I know she was, her father was the police in a town not far from me. He was in the police, and she was his daughter. They were on a farm. But she got a Masonic scholarship to go to the
university. Oh, what, a Rhodes Scholar? Like, is she a Rhodes Scholar?
It was a Masonic one from the Freemasons. She went from there to Waikato University, went to England, worked for the team that helped defend the British parliamentary pedophiles from being implicated.
That doesn't surprise me.
That big inquiry into... She's got the connections, though, this one. And she was...
Do you know the up-and-coming Democratic Congress girl from New York? I think her name is Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez something or other.
Yeah. And there's
she
also
won a She won a Who Wants to Be or Politician Idol competition.
Oh,
it
really?
Was actually an American Idol style competition for Who Wants to Be a Politician. She won that.
She's one with the really wild left.
She's the one with the New Green Deal, the New Party.
Hey, Rick, for our Rick,
another actress, Rick, for our
Canadian and American listeners to fakeologist.com, tell us about this egg thing where the guy, the Queensland senator. Do you know anything about this?
He's the one that's been supportive of, he's a bit anti-immigration and a bit, and he's I agree with half of most of what he said, actually.
But he got egged by that guy.
Hey, Rick, have you read the manifesto? Because I think you'd agree with it as well.
It's pretty much the same as a cut and paste job of the Unibombers one.
I shared it in general. It's there.
The Unibomb. The Unabomber's one is 20 years old. This one's up to date. It's got Q&A.
Is it like the Breivik one? The one in, from Norway?
It's more similar to that one, because that's more recent.
Yeah, that's right. But they said that his one was just like the Norway one was like the Unabomber's as well.
Well, it's the same GCHQ wrote it, so.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I've only heard podcasters talk, gloss over it. I haven't actually sat there and read it. Can you? Is it online?
I shared it in general here. I haven't read it.
Hey, guys. The guy's name's Fraser Andy.
Who?
Hey, Frostbite. Welcome.
Welcome, Frostbite.
We have a headset.
Who are we echoing through? Oh, is that Frostbite?
Frostbite. You're welcome to fakeologist.com. You're here with Exoteric 64, fakeologist John LeBon, Nick, and me, Rollo.
I'm on a headset now. It should be a little better.
Okay.
You're still not coming through. It's not coming through your headset. We can't hear you.
Looking at options here. Hold on.
Just turn your mic
up. While Frostbite is picking his options, let me just say big thanks to Fakeologist. I've got to go to bed, guys. It's 6:30 in the morning here. 6:30 in the morning. I've got to get some sleep, man. Yeah, I'm drunk as shit. So thank you to all of you guys.
JohnLeDrunk.com.
Bro, I'm drunk as fuck, mate. So thanks to all of you for your hospitality. Thank you.
You and Rollo should do a drunk cast.
I mean, John, you answered the question I asked. How is life in Thailand? How is your first-hand experience? I'm drunk as fuck, man.
I am. It's a crazy place, man.
Just don't pay 6,000 baht for a tuk-tuk. Only 600 baht.
Get this, man. Get this. Rollo's telling me, oh, it's so cheap. I'm like, oh, really? He's like, oh, yeah, man. Just paid 600 baht for a tuk-tuk. I'm like, well, that's 30 bucks, man, for a 6 kilometer. That's a 4 mile taxi, yeah?
Not around cash, man. Phuket.
For those of us who are not made of cash, this is an expensive island, but it's great. I love it. It's fantastic here, but you guys have been great. Fakeologist.com, I appreciate it. Ab, listen, anyone listening to this, if you haven't ever signed up at fakeologist.com, ask yourself why. Man, please, come on. $1.19 a month, as if you're going to notice it. Give me a break. Fakeologist.com. And they're banning these websites, man. Australia has banned ZeroHedge.com.
Not blocking. Blocking, not banning. Blocking.
Oh, dude,
blocking,
come on. Block. Same basic idea. It's come
same
on,
effect,
man,
yeah.
Break.
Yeah.
Good point.
Effect.
Good point. Terrible. Keep going, John.
So those people who are giving us a chance to talk about these things, listen, you might say, oh, but JLB, don't you give people a chance to talk about these things? Yeah, at a premium, man. My website's only for people with cash. If you want to talk about this stuff and you don't have cash, only fakeologist.com does this for free. Only place I know of. Can you?
John, I will send you cash if that's okay. I don't have a credit card and I don't have PayPal.
Spotpodcast.com.
Guy,
we give you a fart for free.
Listen, wow. Guy and I have had problems in the past, but Guy, honestly, man, it's nice talking to you, man. It's nice to speak
to
you.
Yeah, no, equally.
I've really enjoyed this. It's been fun. It's been good.
No, yeah, me too. I mean, we have our differences, but we have so much in common, and it's cool.
Man, I've got so many people out there where we've had, like, little online
differences. All right, now enjoy yourself now. Fuck off, John LeBron. Fuck off.
Listen to Roy.
I mean, there's
even gone to walk the dog yet. Why?
Yeah, there's a saying in Dutch, drunk people and children speak the truth. So, no, it's okay, John. I mean, we know where we stand, right?
No, you're cool, man. Hey, listen, Guy, you're nice, man. Thanks to everyone. I've got to go. Thank you, Ab, and thanks to everyone. You guys. Nice to see you, man, and Nick and everyone.
Guy, take another recce. Guy.
No.
You're sad, happy though.
I'm having poker.
Oh, good.
Which is Colombian beer.
I'm going to get on a plane. I'm going to get over to Colombia today, and we are going to party so hard. Seriously, hey guys, do you know who we had? Guy, do you know who we had here last week?
Listen, Rollo, the
Kylie Minogue. Kylie Minogue.
Shootings, it brings us together, man. Fake all
this. It does.
Dead. 3 months. And finally, a baby hoax has brought us all together. So cheers to this bullshit fake shooting in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And the it's fake Jono, Jono, thanks, Jono, everyone. Goodbye, everybody. Bye-bye.
Jono and Phuket is pissed out.
Okay, Rollo, please, continue. Rollo.
Yeah. Hey, guys. To you, mate.
Now you. Yeah. Do you know who we had? You said you started.
Do we? Well, the
crappy third rate, terrible singing, travesty on legs. He's talking about Kylie Minogue.
Kylie Minogue. Okay. Now there's a bot here now that we can play music, right? Okay.
I want to request a song.
Come on, Faco.
Okay, you can play.
Do You Dare by Kylie Minogue.
Play a clip. You can do it. Play a clip, and then anyone can stop it.
All right. How do you do it? So you have to type in what? I just want Do You Dare by Kylie Minogue. I'd rather one of you guys. More tech-savvy than me.
Well, you type, okay, Gaia will do it, and Gaia will stop it.
Gaia.
No. I am responding. I thought Frostbite was coming on, but he has to go.
Frostbite, he's got his mic.
I mean, he's a senior researcher.
Okay. The only way it works is if I use a laptop mic. It's not letting you use my headset.
I mean, Frostbite, fix your stuff, and then next time we will talk well.
Yeah. Hey, Frostbite, let me just ask you, where are you from? Where's he from? He sounds like he's in the US somewhere.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, that's fine. If he wants to talk about this,
Hey, Rick, mute, man.
Laptop. It's coming through his laptop. Who's making all the noise?
That's Rick. It's always Rick.
Sorry.
Yeah, there you go. Don't worry, mate. So, here we are on fakeologist.com with Rick, fakeologist himself, Ab, and Frostbite, Guy, and Nick. Nick is that wonderful guy that, if you want to go back and listen to FAC. What number is it, Ab, where you guys first met?
What number is this?
You haven't made a number, have you?
I don't even know what number.
531 or so.
There we go. Well done, Guy.
535 is Ab, Napoleon. This should be 537.
It's 534, but it's all right.
Is it? Okay. 534. All right. Hey, high fives to you, Ab, and you and Napoleon Wilson. Big shout out to Napoleon Wilson. You and Ab, that was a fantastic conversation when you were discussing the hard par, hyper realistic drill portrayed as real. It was one of the best conversations. And me and Napoleon don't get on so well at the moment, and hopefully we will in the future.
You'll get back.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll
get back. But that was a fantastic conversation, and keep at it,
Let's
guys.
Get
because
SMJ
if
back.
You
want to get SMJ back too,
SMJ,
come on
yeah.
back, SMJ. We know you're listening. Come back.
Yeah. If he can't swear though, can he say two words without saying fucking?
That's like breathing to him.
Nigga, please.
Ooh, you said said a bad word. That's all good.
He's not saying it nastily, but
of course not.
If it offends him, we won't use it because we like.
That guy is blacked up when he's gone to dance parties there in South America.
I was more black than him. Yeah, I was more black than him for sure.
That's right. You had devil horns on and everything.
if he didn't like the word Coca-Cola, we wouldn't use it if we wanted him to be here. So whatever the word is, we won't use it. It's words can be weaponized.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Don't come easy.
I don't think
Romo
personally has a mean bone in his drunk body, so I don't think there's any malintent there.
Absolutely not.
He took offense. What can we say? He can't control people's reactions.
Well, yeah.
If he wants to react that way, then that's who he is.
It's like, what about Ernst Sundel's words?
Right. Why should any words
put you in prison for 5 years? Ernst Sundel.
They really should. Well, they got
and he was a Canadian, a fellow Canadian.
He wasn't a Canadian. He was a German citizen living in Canada. He refused. I think he could have been controlled opposition at least at some point. It's hard to tell. He refused to become a Canadian. I can't remember what his reason was.
No,
and then
they got him
on a technicality. They got him on a technicality out of the country. If he was a Canadian, they could not kick him out of his own country. So he was a German citizen, and then he met up with an American woman and went down there to Tennessee for a while. And then he got thrown out of there, back to Germany, where as a German citizen, they can slice him and dice him.
At least, Sundel himself may have been controlled opposition, but he sparked research, like real scientific research, and I must say, German Rudolf, he is a German who lives in the U.S. because he also got screwed in Germany for researching the same stuff. But he comes from a scientific perspective, and he analyzed samples from the so-called gas chambers in Auschwitz, and did is a very, very serious academic, but in a good sense, right? It's like scholarly. It's well researched, and it is well backed up. Research without going into political motives or whatever. It's just SEC, very good research. And that I think that is key. So I want to make a shout out because I know there's a lot of opposition against science. And that is, I think...
Science, exactly.
I mean, scientism, like a religion type of movement, that is there.
They twist science.
Yes. And there are so many real scientists out there who just apply the scientific method, which is a good way of approaching things. Yeah. And I think that is also one of the reasons why people look strange at, let's say, conspiracy theories, right? I mean, like, researchers, us. Because there is such a cloud of anti-science around it, because we portray, like, the global warming bullshitters as the scientists, or something like that, right? And
right.
I think it's important...
Yeah,
exactly. And it is important to show that it is not science. There is a movement inside science, which is scientism, which is the main problem. And because we...
Well, the scientism is aligned with propaganda. That is... Scientism is kept alive by propaganda, not by the scientific method. It's only propagated and promoted with propaganda. There are no scientific studies. There's no scientific method applied. There's no...
No, exactly. It is anti-science. It's anti-science. It's literally going against the scientific method. Statements like the science is settled is by definition contradictory because science is never settled.
It should never be. But getting back to Ernst Sundel, even if I don't like what you have to say, even if I find it offensive, I defend your right to say it, because I want to be able to, if I disagree with it, refute it. Everyone, I don't want anyone to be an arbiter of what should be allowed to be said. No one should have that power. The minute we allocate and assign that power to any third party, then we are on a slippery slope to massive censorship and all the electronic ways we can censor and change words. And that is the absolute worst society to live in. We can never
let that
happen.
But it's a bigger issue, dude. There is a bigger issue. We as a society, like, knocking on the door. It's a government. Before we had all the, you know, known ways of government, and it applied, I guess it was the best thing we could have at a time or whatever. That's what we have. But right now, with all the voting and reviews, you can go online. Like, there's people demanding more democratic way of, I don't know, like, I don't like the word democratic, but you know what I mean.
Okay.
No, but it is a real effect, and that is the main point, and Ed is completely right. I mean, this is dangerous. This is like what we, 10 years ago, it was only appearing in a dystopian movie, right? And in narratives about evil China, evil Russia, evil Colombia, you know, stuff like that. But in the West, people were like, no, but that doesn't happen here. I mean, look at New Zealand, is a pretty Western country, and they block access to archive.org.
Society where they get rid and censor any kind of speech. I want to be able to see every video.
Yeah.
Or read any speech. And I will, if I don't like it, I want to be able to refute it and disagree with it. I don't want any one person, Lenny Posner, or anyone else defining any publication as any type of speech that can't be seen. I don't want to live in a society like that. And I'm going
And it's quite scary that that is happening in Western countries at the moment.
Yes.
It is, and it's real, right? I mean, we checked it.
Yes, it seems to be.
And it's the effect. It's especially for the next generation, because we are old compared to the future, right? I mean, it is the young people right now, they grow up with a limited...
These laws are for them, and they're not paying attention because they're not interested at this point. But when they get to be our age, they'll say, hey, who built this prison? Where did this come from? Well, when you were young and not paying attention, which is fine. That's what young people do. This was all being constructed. And don't say we didn't tell you so, but you were too busy getting drunk or having fun. But these are the laws that were being made over phony events.
No, it's great we keep it going, guys. I mean,
very good.
Thank you, App, for providing this for us.
Sure. As long as we can, as long as Discord lets us. No, that's another platform.
Yeah, of course. I mean.
Oh, by the way, Discord went around banning rooms for sharing the video, so be careful.
Oh, right, yeah. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they did. Because you can share files and whatnot on Discord,
I believe in the free market idea. I mean, there are always new platforms popping up.
Yeah.
And we have email addresses. We can stay in contact even if they would take the whole stuff down. I mean, it's not like it's impossible.
An email newsletter, yeah.
Yeah, stuff like
that's
that.
That's the way it was before web pages. We had email newsletters.
Yeah, news groups, yeah.
I don't know, dude. I think it's pretty obvious. YouTube is extremely powerful platform and so on. If you do the search right, you'll be in hundreds of thousands and millions of views if you do things right over time. And we don't have that option. We just don't. No. There is no, you know, fair free market. We just have to call it.
No, there's no fair market. I agree.
No, that's right. They created a monopoly by giving the service away. They did that and it works. And now they have the monopoly and no one else is really around at the moment. But that is why you give a service away. You make a monopoly. You drive everyone else out of business because you can't give away things for free forever unless you're backed by some huge corporation.
Yes.
Is that Frostbite? Is he still here?
No, he's not there, but he I wanted to mention him because he put out his videos on Brightion. I never heard of it, but it's like a YouTube alternative.
But that site is having extreme problems too.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. I just clicked.
Yeah, I saw. I couldn't even log into it. So all these sites are, if they're not YouTube and backed by the government or the military or whoever has all the unlimited money, they're not going to be able to take the pressure of a million people trying to stream video. So the only thing you can do is share the file and streaming. Get the file, put it on your device, and watch it later. You don't have to stream.
Yes,
streaming is very hard on the internet. It kills bandwidth. Netflix should be illegal for what it does to the internet because it kills the bandwidth. The only sensible way to share files is torrent or peer-to-peer because it brings the file over slowly over a distributed way. And, yeah, you don't get the movie in seconds. It takes time. But then it's on your end, and you can watch it whenever you want, even if you have no internet connectivity. That is the way everything should be done. But, unfortunately, that's just not the way people are conditioned.
No, but the good thing is we have a group of people who have their own specialty, like Trips, ex-Triptomy, yeah. Right? I mean, he now developed a bot in days, in nothing, right? Great that
yeah,
he did it.
Good.
And he can help you out if I mean, we don't want it, but if it would be all taken down, I mean, he can help you out to start over with something new, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's possible. It just won't be as accessible. And accessibility is the key to success, but
no, but
I don't want to be on the dark web.
I think what we are talking about will be fringe for forever. I mean, it's
sure.
not going to be waking up most people anyway, right? I mean, even when it was all free and all that, all accessible, like you are the expert, right? I mean, your website is on for now 6 years. No,
Yeah. Well, it's just hard to find again because it doesn't show up in searches because the word hoax, I don't even think is coming up in Google right now. I think.
I think hoax has a very hard meaning. I think staged event is much better.
Well, whatever it is, you have to be able to have random people find it, and they only know so many words. There's only so many words they're going to try before they give up.
Yeah, I think word of mouth works much better. Information, just links and
You can look at Google Images. I like to look at Google Images sometimes when I use terminology. I just type hoax and it gives you this already weaponized picture, fake news, stop hoax. Yeah. Basically, mostly it's stop hoax, you know. They overtaken those terminology.
If I can plug a website which I really love, and you will too if you haven't heard it, if you haven't read it, it's Museum of Hoaxes.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've linked to them a few times.
Ah, nice. Yeah, it's mainstream, but it is admitted hoaxes. But there are so many there that have the same blueprint and the same narrative as the so-called not admitted hoaxes we expose, right? That is really it's really interesting.
Yeah, I've looked at that. But Frosty, whatever his name is Optical Illusion on Clues Forum. That's who that is.
Yes.
I told him to change his name. It's too hard when you have different names to figure out who's who.
Yeah,
I told him to adjust his name. I'm not sure he knows how to do that.
No, you cannot. You have disabled that option in your Discord channel.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. It wasn't working. I disabled a long time ago because some people are changing their name every day, and I couldn't figure out who was who. So.
He can create a new account and log in.
I might change it back. I might undisable it, I guess. But there was a couple people changing their name every single day, and I didn't
undisable.
Know who
undisable. Is it a word or is it enable?
Yeah, that's right. I will enable it again. The only thing I need is the logger, and if Tryptamine is listening, as long as the logger tells me they changed their name, so I can figure out who's who's changing their identity all the time. Because
it should be easy to program. There's very easy.
It became confusing. That's all. There's just a few people that kept changing their names. So yeah, I'll switch it back.
Sorry, Nick. My internet went down when you were replying to the geology stuff. But I thought about another analogy. Imagine a child of 5 years old, and then they are taking the child to the birthday of grandmother or great grandmother, it doesn't matter, of 90 years old. A child of 5 years old has no concept of what 90 years means, right? I mean, you become conscious in your life, like three. Let me finish. You're 3 years old, 4 years old, more or less. You gain consciousness about your life, more or less, right? So you are alive, let's say, consciously for 1 or 2 years. So if you go to the birthday of grandmother or great grandmother of 90 years old, you don't have a concept of that. So it is impossible to imagine such an age, 90 years. Wow, that's a lot of time, but you don't understand how much time that is. I think that is the same way most people who are not geologists look at the Earth. How can it be millions of years old? I'm not talking about billions, because there are some questions from my side as well, and I'm not saying that every exact dating is correct and all that. I think there's a lot of room for speculation and other options. I'm not following the mainstream 100% on that, right? But the concept that the Earth is very old, millions of years at least, that it is impossible to grasp for many people because they haven't studied it. And I haven't experienced it like the grandmother of 90 years old, of course. But most of the people are like this 5 year old. But that doesn't mean that grandmother or the Earth is not that old as is proclaimed.
Yeah, but this is not how you prove things. There is two geologists. One is you look at the rock, and you see here's the metamorphs part. This little spot is a little, I don't know, marble or whatever. It's something. Everything else is something different. And you classify it. You try to see what is there. Another part of geology that comes in and say, this rock appeared here because, and here is where the millions, billions in some cases, years come in. And as you said with the grandmother, it's a good example of exactly the same thing. You don't know how old is grandma. I could say she is 90 million years. What if I say she's 13, 4.5 billion years old, the grandma? The kid will say, yeah, sure. So the age should be verified. It's very important to verify this age. And the people who argue for this very well, there is a bunch of creationist geologists. And it's not just geologists, but especially creationists, and they usually catastrophist geologists as well. And they have a whole bunch of good examples how geological processes do not have to take millions of years, but we can see exactly the same thing happening in a very short periods, like eruption of that volcano, Mount St. Helens. It produced the canyon, it produced a whole bunch of geological features, which we thought, you know, takes millions. It produced it in one eruption, just one cloud of dust settled in a way that represents a whole bunch of geology, plus the layering of the rock happens according to its grain size.
Yeah, okay. But, I mean, there is no contradiction between catastrophe and uniformitarianism, right? I mean, most of the processes are slow and steady, like
but
rivers.
Sorry, just a sec.
Rivers are depositing sediments all the time. It's a slow process, and it's happening, right? You can see it. You can dive in a river, right? There. You can go to the beach, see the wave action. That is there to see. But
see,
at the same time, at the same
canyon forming, if you can find a process that national canyons fast, except for, like there is examples. I understand what you're talking about.
No,
but
at the same time. But at the same time, there are catastrophes. There are tsunamis. There are volcanic eruptions. There are earthquakes. Right? Those are catastrophic, immediate events. And they happen. Storms. So, right? I mean, tornadoes and stuff like that. That is
sure
happening. So sure, there's no contradiction between the two. It's not like it's either or. No, both things are happening at the same time. But most of the time, it's not extreme. Like
you gotta realize, geology is just one subset. This long, long age for everything, for the whole evolution, comes in early on. It starts with a big bang, with a singularity. Mm-hmm. Then all
no,
of
no, 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 no. That is reasoning backwards. It's not
no,
starting with the big bang. The big bang is an idea from a Belgian priest in 1935. That is
that enough. Is official science. If you're going to ask any physicist,
that's the problem. There is no official
7. Yeah, any physicist will tell you how old the universe. Always tell you that number.
And that's my message.
I agree. It's a called Big Bang theory.
It's not a theory. It's a theory. It's not a theory. It's not a theory.
But it's not even a theory.
It's a hypothesis. It's an hypothesis, right?
It's not even, if it's can't be proven, except for the way they prove it by electric microwave background radiation. They see there is 3 degrees Kelvin in space.
I know.
So yeah, it must have come from this enormous explosion long, long, long
yes
time ago. It's the same thing as geology. We have
No, it's not the same thing.
It because must have come from this long, violent process. That's what geology always does.
No,
we observe
no.
something now, and it says we must have came from this long process.
I mean, you are in New York, so you can go to the Appalachian Mountains. The Appalachian Mountains were formed, according to the explanation, I wouldn't call it mainstream, but the explanation, during the Hercynian orogeny, in the Carboniferous, more or less, right? So, like 300 million years ago.
There is stories that mountains came and they grew and that there used to be bigger mountains here and they disappeared. Of course, there is multiple stories.
It's not about stories. It's not about stories. It's about the real physical observations you can make. And that's the starting point. Talking about Big Bang Theory...
The observation is one thing, but explanation of how the observation...
That is the next step.
Theoretical. You cannot observe geological time. You cannot. Even within your lifetime, you went on the river, you can observe the formation within a lifetime and within a couple of years. Rivers make banks very quickly, like those, whatever. That
sometimes,
accumulates,
yes. And sometimes not.
Yeah, you could see erosion on beaches, but those processes are observable and we can study them. We can study the simulations, but the bigger processes, they're absolutely virtual. Just like plate tectonics, there is no plates, there is no tectonics, it's just a model that's...
Okay, fine. If you claim that, then you have to come up with an alternative explanation how I can find ammonites and oysters, and I have oysters myself.
A violent catastrophe.
In the Andes, a violent catastrophe
that changed the face of the Earth. Probably not the only catastrophe. It's always a
If that is your alternative theory,
yeah,
then you have to back that up with evidence, with physical,
well, the evidence
observable, not relying on another authority.
It's not the evidence, it's how you interpret them. It's the same evidence. If you know how to look at them correctly,
make the case for an alternative explanation.
It's already made. I'm telling you, it's not even me. The other people have made the case. I also made the case, well, with them, because, you know, I go further with this theory.
I have other conclusions. I mean, if you don't mind, I find an explanation of the other people have come up with X, not a very strong case.
Okay, I understand, but like people usually, what do you want to hear from because I can give you multiple examples.
It's not about you. It's not personal. It's not personal.
I'm telling you, to make my case so you can see what I'm talking about, all I'm going to need is share my screen and start showing you images that are available publicly.
We can do that in private. We can do that in a private chat. We can share screens.
That's why. I'm not arguing because there is...
Okay. Let's park it for later. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Fine. Yeah. No, I think you're a very intelligent and interesting guy, and you have a lot of research behind you. So I take you seriously. That's not the problem. And I'm not married to the mainstream explanation or anything. I love alternative explanations, and I want to explore that. But so far, I haven't found another good explanation for plate tectonics or the observations I have seen myself in the field, authority, nothing.
Have you ever heard about the guy Dutch Sins?
No.
Dutch Sins. It's a YouTube channel. He has probably 300,000, maybe by now, subscribers. And he predicts the earthquakes along the specific lines that he draws, usually the rifts and everything. But the way that he does is very nicely. But I thought you would know as a geologist, because it's alternative geology channel, Dutch Sins.
No, I have to, please share it with me in the comment section or in the general or personal. Sorry about the noise, but the personal message, whatever. I have looked into flat Earth, obviously, concave Earth, expanding Earth, non-organic origin of abionic origin of petroleum, which is bullshit. But I have never found a good, decent explanation. So, yeah, I saw you share that.
Have you heard about a comet Halley?
Of course.
The comets carry carbohydrates within their tails.
I don't know.
There is a large amount of carbohydrates in comets' tails, so that could explain maybe some presence. I know there is. It's a big thing.
The way you analyze stuff out there, like space, right? I mean, whatever space is.
Yeah.
Is using spectrometry, right?
Yes, of course.
So you use spectral lines, and you can analyze what kind of elements
are in there.
That's
what the scientists say. All I'm saying, that's what this is. Just for the theory, when people, like, carbohydrates, I heard that the comet's tails contain tons of carbohydrates, so that if that thing brushes to the surface, all kinds of electrical process, a lot of stuff could happen. But that's one possibility for how catastrophes happen. Maybe comets are all part of that catastrophe, not necessarily initiator, but also part of the whole situation. It could be like, you know, for me, the best terminology I like to use for this catastrophe I'm talking about is the server reset. It's like you have a computer game and you have a server reset, maybe to install a new patch or whatever, and the whole thing is being reset. It's far out of the way, out of scientific, but it's more into virtual reality type of, you know, this reality being a virtual reality type of thing, and computer games is a very good example, and artificial intelligence, how it operates, it's a very good example of consciousness. It's a huge subject. I don't know. I can talk about virtuality of this reality for a long time. There is already people doing that.
Just a question. I mean, I don't want to use the word belief, but do you think the ice ages were correct? I mean, the mainstream explanation of that?
I think that we have maps made in 16 and 1700 that show North Africa as you. This biggest desert on Earth, and we show North Africa with rivers, with cities. Like today, there is nothing there. So I think the changes that happened that we call as ice age, they happened, but not 12,000 years ago. If I bring everything, maybe 500 years ago.
Oh, nice.
Maybe 800.
You touched upon a very interesting topic, which is also. one part of my research, it's these maps.
Yes, you should have seen North African. There's so many North African maps that show you Nile going south and another leaves splitting to going across the whole North Africa, and there is all these cities there. And like, what the hell? And then by the 1900s, it's already a dead place. And you see the evidence of this catastrophe. If you look around the pyramids, all the scattered stones, all the erosion there, it tells us that there was some massive thing happened here, and probably when they built it, it was flourishing. But geological timelines, they say, yeah, it happened. Sahara was very different, but it was 4,000 years ago. So, and there is, I don't like this ages. I think if you bring everything closer together, you see how it was one coherent event happening to everybody.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
And thank you, Ev, for still supporting this channel and this method of platform of exchanging thoughts in this time of censorship and dystopian threats and whatever there's happening out there. So we can still talk about interesting topics, and we are now talking about alternative possible histories, about ages, about archaeology, paleontology, geology, ages of pyramids, catastrophes versus uniformitarianism and other concepts. And I think it's great, Ed. Thank you for providing this to us.
Yeah, we can notice, because about the timeline, I can explain you shortly. You, first of all, we live in the year 2019 today. That's year from zero was birth of Jesus, supposedly, and we live in a very heavily Christianized background. That's why we have year zero is being year of the Jesus. In Soviet Union, because I was born in Soviet Union, our year zero was 1917, the Great Revolution, and then it began. For them, year zero, I mean, for us, as the even scientific world, we use the same dating. It's like our background is in heavily in Christianity. And in Christianity, they came across this dating, because if you look at the real dating, what year today is in Christianity, or Jewish, for that matter, they're going to say it's year 6,000 or 7,000. But the way that they counting in the Bible, there is a saying, a day with the Lord, for the Lord is like 1,000 years, and so on. So the seven days of creation could be the 7,000 years as well, they pointing, if you look at it. So they are not necessarily even the real 6,000 or 7,000 years from creation, but they postulated later from studying the Bible. That's why I think we're actually in a year like 1,000 right now, about 1,000.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because I've been looking into that, and I see that as a very possible probability, or probable possibility, let's say, that they invented 1,000 years. And you have seen those videos too, I guess, where they present, let's say, 1,500. It's an I with 500 behind it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, that too. That's another story. I was just talking about it in general, from if, say, year zero, whatever it start of our, the ancient Greeks, I would say, not the Stone Age, whatever that was, maybe a little bit of the Stone Age was together with that ancient Greece or whatever it was. So I usually dated like 1,000 years ago was that period of time, maybe ancient Greece, ancient Rome, then quickly what's known as Middle Ages, because, you know, the gap of that 1,000-year gap
of the Dark Ages. Yeah.
And then you got a Renaissance and everything, bam, we're almost here. But I think there was another catastrophe in between that process, meanwhile. But
Yeah, that is also my problem with the mainstream historical narrative, is this dark Middle Ages. Like, suddenly the whole world coming from the so-called advanced Roman and Greek cultures forgot everything, even something as basic as plumbing, that was all there in the Roman times, and then suddenly we tumbled into dark ages where nobody thought about these basic concepts, and then we lived like that for 500 years, and then came the Renaissance, and then we were back to Roman times. That doesn't make any
look
sense.
Look how
right?
Renaissance starts, like dark ages end, the Black Plague. It's not just that they have a Black Plague where they're saying out of like 100 million Europeans, around 80 to maybe 90 million of them just died within 7 years. It started in Italy and it spread throughout the whole thing back in England. It was as well, like all the way up north and east and west. Within 7 years, 9 out of 10 Europeans were dead. At the same time, maybe like 300 years later in their history, same thing happens on the North American continent where all natives go missing with the same ratio. So I'm saying it may be all these extinction events that they are calling, you know, it's all one event, you know, just one catastrophe.
Guys, I just want to do a quick mic check. Am I coming through? There's a new headset.
Yeah, it's not very good, but yeah, you're coming through.
It's not good?
No, it has a little bit of background. Yeah, I don't know how to describe it. But
are you echoing through me?
No.
But you're not echoing.
Sounds all right.
But you're not echoing.
It's a little digital. It's like a little digital voice.
Yeah.
I think it's Discord that does that.
Well, it's only $39.
And you're eating at the same time.
How do you
know? Yeah, we can hear you eating.
Okay.
That is fine. Enjoy your food. That's not a problem.
I just want to know if it's coming through okay. So this is sort of a cheap one.
Yeah, it sounds cheaper than what you had before. Yeah. Frostbite is asking, can someone invite me into the audio chat channel?
No, where is he?
Yeah, and I said I cannot, App can. It's in
the
show notes.
Well, tell him just to click into the lobby.
He was in our channel.
Yeah, I know, but I think he got his setup arranged and so on, came back. I don't know.
Well, he can click any voice channel except the audio chat live stream. So click the lobby, I'll tell him.
And we have Rick back.
Okay, go ahead.
And he left again. No, we are just having a nice chat about dating and history and all that.
Yeah.
And I think everything before the Renaissance period of human history is very questionable.
Of course. I started even earlier. I started 1800s. Everything from early 1800s is questionable.
Yeah, questionable. Oh, okay, of course. I mean, things are questionable anyway because we know how much fake media is going on today. I mean, questionable, but like in terms of inventing complete time periods, that's what I would like to say.
Yeah,
I mean,
yes.
I can see here live the mixture of different races, like in Colombia. You have a lot of mestizos, which are mixtures of Spanish and indigenous people. I mean, that is there, right? I mean, so before, let's say 1500, let's say, right? I mean, just a year. Before that, we have no printing press. We have no records. It's all conjecture. It's all those, that kind of stuff. But after that, so 1800, I find a bit too problematic because there are so many books published, so many maps, so much stuff that it is very hard to fake all of that. Like invented. I mean, and then what is the alternative explanation if humanity just started in 1800. I mean, what was how did the people mix here in race and in genetics and so, right? I mean, even if you don't believe in genes or DNA, it doesn't matter. But you see the phenotype is there, right? I mean, it, those kind of things. And how did the world work before 1800 then? I mean, that is a very fixed date, which is hard to justify, I think.
It looks like there was this one big empire, and then there was a catastrophe, and then people recovered from the catastrophe. Those who survived, it's the same people that's been there. It's not like, or maybe there was a complete server restart, and then we got completely receded, but that's already a crazier theory that I don't know.
I mean, are you referring to the Tartarian Empire in a loose sense, then?
No, I don't like the way that it's portrayed. It has heavily nationalistic content. Like, it's a lot of it probably planted as well. I don't know, dude. I'm very skeptical of the whole Tartarian story, but maybe some people call it that. That terminal, we can use that term because it's available. It's the one they created. I just dislike using their terminology.
Yeah, no, I agree. I have, and I'm still in the process of expanding it, but I'm compiling a list of maps where I try to focus on five different elements. It's the Arctic lands, which is called Hyperborea, I think, in many conspiracy videos and all that. It is the Antarctic lands, so the Terra Australis, which was called like that. Like there was imagined, according to the mainstream history, there was always imagined a southern continent to, to compensate for the northern continents. Australia and the discovery and the timeline of that. Friesland. And not Friesland like in Holland, but Friesland with an I, F-R-I-S, and then land, either with L-A-N-D, L-A-N-T, or L-A-N-D-T, different spellings of Old Dutch.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was that's a phantom island that was shown on many maps, actually, in the Atlantic Ocean between, let's say, Greenland, Iceland, and North America.
Yeah, and there was always this circle divided in four pieces. There was more religious belief or something there.
So. Yeah, that's on the Arctic, yeah.
Are you aware of the David Ramsey map collection? Are you using that?
I think I come across it, but I'm just starting. I started the page on Fakopedia. And
this guy has all the maps in best resolution possible.
Okay, please,
it's the best collection of maps. He has everything, maps and even books, dude. You're gonna love it as a person. Who's
great, thanks. No, but the thing is, I don't want to start with a theory like many conspiracy theorists, let's call them, on YouTube are doing. They start with a theory and then try to fit the maps into that. No,
I agree. I want to start
with the data and then all map it out, literally, right? Map it out.
Yeah.
And then from that, draw some conclusions, if you can.
Let the data tell us what to do. I do exactly with maps because there is such an overwhelming amount of data. Browse it without any preconceptions, and what does it show me? I see in it?
No, exactly. And there's one map. I think it's a fraud. It's a fake, and you probably know about it because it's very famous.
Yeah,
it was so-called discovered in 1929.
A lot of maps are like that.
Please let me explain this. This map was discovered in 1929, allegedly, but it was allegedly made in 1513 by an Ottoman admiral whose name is Piri Reis, and the Piri Reis map has been used by many conspiracy video makers on YouTube to claim that Antarctica was already known in 1513, blah, blah, blah. But I think that map is a fraud. That map was constructed in or around 1929, and then someone said, okay, we found this in the Topkapı Palace in Istanbul, right? And it is not really from the 16th century.
I think there is a huge business dealing in antiques, and it's not just maps, but maps, everything as well, whatever. They falsify the ancient times and sell those even until today. Italian mafia probably has a lot of money there. But what I was going to tell you, it's if you look at any single map, you're going to see there is history behind it. The original map was published in 1500s, then some nice publishing house decided to recopy it, and they made a copy, and usually it's in 19th century. So every single map, if you look into a history, it's already going to tell you so much without even looking at contents. Don't even look at the map, but look exactly who drew it, how did it end up to be scanned, and you're looking at it.
Yeah, I have now listed in the same channel, the show notes, the page I'm starting at Fakeopedia. And there I have included that for a couple of maps, like a map before Columbus, and it's called the Map of the World of Christopher Columbus, and it was made around 1490, allegedly, by a guy named Heinrich Hammer in Nuremberg, which is now Germany, but back then it was the Holy Roman Empire, of course. But this map was so-called discovered in the 1960s, and it's held by Yale Skull and Bones University, who also holds one other fake. I dive deep into that. It's the Voynich manuscript, which I find very interesting because it's a mysterious text, but I think it's a fake.
Dude,
just one
can
example.
You imagine faking Voynich? Like, you get a job to fake. There's a lot of creation of unknown substance there, unknown drawings, unknown mystical pictures. That's a very large job. But yeah, possibly. I don't know. It's fishy. I don't know what's up with it.
I mean, if you look at the text and the images together, I mean, the images, it looks like they're painted over by a child. They make a drawing which is pretty okay, and then there's paint over it, which is just childish. It's not to the same level as the text is written and the images are drawn, like with pencil or with pen.
But there's a lot of images, they look like plants and cells. On
Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff.
I know, yeah. I analyze all these ones, man. I even signed up to the Voynich.new, I think, forum it is. So, yeah. I know. I went deep into that one. But there are others who say it's a hoax perpetrated by Voynich himself in 1910 or something like that, right? I mean, early 20th century.
Yeah, that was a fruitful time for hoaxes, early 20th. Century.
Yeah,
it's hard to know now. There is data from that period. They used to cut out us, just left and stick another hand on the image, publish it in a low quality, erase somebody. Like, oh, dude, they did some badass Photoshop.
Yeah, I mean, we know about the Vinland map, which is a proven fake, also held by Yale University, and they had to admit that it was a fake. Right? You know the Vinland map?
No, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Vinland. V-I-N-L-A-N-D.
Ah, Vinland. Starts with
yeah.
V. Okay. But the whole story... Wait, where is Vinland? Is it Duggerland?
No, Vinland is the... allegedly the ancient name which the Vikings or the Scandinavians used for North America.
Oh, okay, I see. Do you know the story about Duggerland, by the way?
Oh, yes. Oh,
Britain was connected to Scandinavia, and 1,000 years ago, it began sinking. Over 8,000 years of sinkage, they lost half of the continent, and then over another 4,000 years, they lost the remaining, and now it's too separate. I'm like, hey, how about it happen very quickly, right away, and that's why we can see still the river beds and the construction and everything, because it was one catastrophe that made it happen. Not a split, you know, they split it over 10,000 15,000 years.
I don't want to jump to one event, but yes, no, Doggerland, of course, I mean, I'm from Holland, you know, and so it is right in the front garden, right? So, of course, and it has been my interest earlier. I have looked into it shortly. I'm not an expert or anything.
Oh, by the way, do you know that scene? Okay.
Go ahead. No, please, you.
Do you know that St. Petersburg, I'm from St. Petersburg, it's very similar. We have a lot of canals, and it's a lot of similar architecture with you.
Yes. Doggerland, one thing I know for sure, because I've seen it, unfortunately, I don't have it anymore, but my parents, they had a mammoth molar. It was fished from the North Sea. And of course, evidently, there are no elephants living in the North Sea right now.
They do a lot of bone. They just collect off the bottom a whole bunch of bones there. There is areas and could take them out. I know, I heard
that. That's real stuff, right? I mean, that's
Mammoth were, and they say there is evidence of mammoth all over Siberia, like, and that's a very long stretch of land north. If mammoth was there, elephants spend 18 hours a day eating food and digesting food. They eat a ton of food. Mammoths are even bigger, so there's got to be a completely different, you know, weather. And then buildings in St. Petersburg, we have like a winter palace, you probably know about it. It has huge windows. It has huge windows, and they had to later add on the, like, a lot of changes to heat it because they're made for a completely different temperature. All buildings in St. Petersburg, they are not made for the winter that they have now. Minus 30 Celsius could easily happen. It's not made for this. It had to be redone. They had to fix all that stuff to withstand the cold that happened. So I think the cold, like the temperatures in northern, even in Finland, in your region, in St. Petersburg region, they were much warmer up until like 17th century or so.
Yeah, I know. But that is mainstream confirmed, right? I mean, maybe not that. Okay, that's true. But I mean, the wineries in Great Britain, the name Greenland, right? I mean, it comes from it used to be green, right? and that makes sense. I mean, I haven't been there, I haven't checked it out myself, I haven't touched the artifacts myself, so I cannot makes sense, right?
We are dealing with the global weather patterns change in a scale that Sahara used to be green. Areas where you live right now used to be much warmer. Same as so the mammoth could be there's enough grass for those guys and woolly rhino and other creatures.
No, exactly. And I mean, taking it back to Doggerland, I mean, I grew up at the Dutch coast, so I know all about sedimentation and erosion. Coastal erosion is a big thing, and the coastline changed like crazy in Holland. I mean, there's no other country in the world which has changed shape so much as Holland. That's clear, right? I mean, you can see it in the modern geology profiles. I've visited those profiles. I've seen it, and that's right. The same with the Doggerland. I mean, the Doggerbank is an elevated area in the North Sea, And the Dogger Land was just elevated above the sea area there. And it's very easy to erode it. It's very easy to erode 15 meters of sand. Because you just need a couple of storms, a couple of flows, because it's loose sediment. That process is...
But it didn't erode away. It didn't erode away. It carries the buildings and the river beds that used to be... The rivers used to run through Doggerland. And then now it's a couple of 10 feet or 6 feet under the water, and you can still see those river beds and construction of some walls and buildings. You can dive there and find them.
Yeah, so, I know. And that's the thing. It's a major oil-producing or mostly gas-producing area. So there's lots of divers who have been there because they are checking the bases of platforms, oil platforms and so. So that is all real. Right? It's not fakery. So no, there is an elevated area in the North Sea, and they have found archaeological evidence that people were living there, and that makes sense. I mean, that's the thing. The story makes sense. As long as the story doesn't make sense, okay, then we can start questioning. But if it supports the theory, then okay, we can build on from that, right? So it's a difference. I like to call it the difference between unmerited and merited authority. Because there is authority in something. I mean, you are obviously the expert compared, you and me together, the expert on both Russia and New York City. I've been to Moscow for a couple of days, but I don't know Russia, and I've never been to New York City. So you are a merited authority on those kind of topics. And you have never been to Colombia, and I don't know if you've been to Holland, but, you know. So I am compared, between us, the merited authority, if I can speak honestly, if it's honest, right, about something. So there is merited authority, but there's also a lot more unmerited authority.
Yeah, sure, I'm not arguing. That at all. I'm just saying, look, I gotta take a piss. Be back.
Yeah, okay.
Alright?
Yeah, sure. While Nick is having his pit stop, I would like to point out this is, if you haven't listened and looked at Fakopedia before, look at list of historical maps on Fakopedia. And there you find at least 30 something maps. And that's just starting, because I have many more maps in my own Excel sheet. And it's just first looking at stuff. Just mapping it out, literally. Just looking at how they portray the Arctic, the Antarctic, Australia, Friesland, the Phantom Islands, and Tartaria, which is now a big thing in the conspiracy YouTube community. And Tartaria was literally everything in Siberia, or everything east of the Urals, was called Tartaria in most of the maps. Sometimes it's called even west of the Urals, so the Russian part of, European part of Russia, called Tartaria. But there are some interesting maps to look at and check it out. It's ongoing research. There's no definitive conclusion or so, and many people are making those without mapping it out first. First, you need to collect the data, and then you can start building a story or explanation or model or whatever you want to call it. But first, map it out. First, compile the data, right? And that's a scientific approach. And I think the scientific approach should be the basis of everything. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of interesting things of maps that were this so-called discovered, like the Globus Jagellonicus, which means the Jagellonian globe, and Jagellonian was the Jewish, of course, royal family of Poland, and that globe, it was a globe, it was allegedly from 1510 by an anonymous person, but discovered in the 1870s. And it's a ridiculous map. If you look at it, look at the Wikipedia list of historical maps, you find it linked there. And I also talked about it before in another chat on Hoaxbusters Co. You've got fantasy islands, and there's an island in the Indian Ocean, which is called America, in the Indian Ocean. Even though they have a rough outline of America, the real Americas, in the Western Hemisphere, but they also have an island, America, and this globe was so-called discovered in the 1870s. And on this map, that's also interesting, on this globe, there is Friesland already. And allegedly, according to the mainstream history, Friesland was invented by a guy called Niccolo Zeno. He was a Venetian cartographer in 1558. And there, that was the first time, allegedly, that Friesland appeared on the map. And that's not true, because we find maps before, like by Gerardus Mercator, of the Mercator projection, and there is Friesland already appearing 7 years before. And also, on this globe, from 1510, there is already the outline of Friesland. But this map was, or this globe, was allegedly discovered in the 1870s, so did they recreate history there? Could be, right? And there are so many interesting nuggets like that. And it's a very, I think it's a very good way of looking at history and looking at the different maps and the periodized map, of course, what everybody talks about. But there are so many more maps. It's not just that. The famous map of Juan de la Cosa. Juan de la Cosa in Spanish means literally John of the Thing, from 1500, allegedly. And, I mean, who is called John of the Thing? There's so much to explore here. It's really, really, it's a cool hunting ground, let's say. Nick, are you back?
Yes, I'm here, I'm here, I'm listening.
Okay, I will replace you at the loo. I'm going for one right now, yeah? Okay. So you keep talking. Yeah. Talking.
Okay. Okay, it's just maps are very tricky themselves. Those dates are very tricky. I was looking at so many maps, and they usually on this DaVinci website, they have a history. Try to pull something out, maybe. Yeah, here is by Blau, John Blau, one map I'm looking at, and it says the date the author used to live in 1600s, 1500s to 1600s. And then authors are Mercator, Rommel, and then it says author approximately 1545 to 1599. I'm going to link this link in the live stream notes to the map. I hope it works. Yeah, yeah. And I'm reading the description. It says media information, left side of the page. On the right side, there is a map in beautiful format, you can download it, it's like 10 megapixels, you can really look into things. And here it says authors are Mercator, author one is Blau John, and his date of birth 1596-1673. Then it says author again, and it says Mercator, Rommel, and then it says approximately 1545 to 1599. So here is already, there is a gap of when was it made. Then there is another says author Blau William Johnson, supposedly. So it's another guy, 1571 to 1638. Then it gives another author, Fischer Clarence.
Yeah,
oh
it's a Dutch name. So it's Klaas Jansson Visser.
Yeah, and then it says note. When once you start, do you see the link I posted? Once you start reading note,
thanks. Yeah, it's great.
It shows you references and titles and publication. It's crazy how many when it was copied. Publication reference: British Library Maps, K.R.R. Shirley, The Mapping of the World, early printed world maps, 1470-1700. London, 1993, so it was published in 1993, and this is looking at. You're looking at people who remade the maps and republished them in 1993, surprisingly, and now we're looking at a scan of it.
So, yeah, it says
in the bottom, look, London 1829, so His Majesty forming geographical from collection. They got it from collection in 1829, but it lay there in the collection until 1993 when they started it to publish. You could see the history, and then publication notes continue. You can find a ton of information there, dude. I love this website. Really recommend.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man, for this website. It is great. Oh, yeah, thanks. I will use it. Just a short notice on the authors, the so-called authors, at least. Rumold Mercator, that's strange, because his name is usually Gerard Mercator, who was I think he was Flemish, he was not Dutch. I mean, what we call now Flemish. I will look it up. I tell sheet where I keep track of the maps. Which is bigger than what I put out there on Wikipedia yet. I mean, I have still so much to add. But
that's what I'm saying. Once you start tracing the story and putting one and one together, there is a lot of issues. Like, yeah. I don't understand.
No, that's the thing. But we already talked about. I mean, first map out the data. And Gerard Mercator was Flemish. He was not Dutch. But that was... In that time, Holland was much bigger, so it included Flanders, which is now Belgium.
Yeah.
But I separated those two to be clear, because there are many people from Amsterdam and from Deventer and Gouda and other places in Holland, Netherlands, but also people from Antwerp, which is now Belgium, Flanders. So we have Mercator. Flemish.
Yeah.
Johan Blauw, who is Dutch.
Yeah, that's a famous.
His son, Willem Jansson Blauw. Jansson literally means son of Jan, and Jan can also be written as Johan, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
And we have Klaas Jansson Visser, and he is part of a big family because the Visser family, we also have Nicolaas Visser, two of them. Father and son, allegedly. But the son published his maps that were just the same as his father's.
And they were brand names. I don't like to call them real people. I think brand names.
Yeah, it's questionable. But the funny, I looked at it today. I just added it today after a couple of weeks of non-activity. But I just added it today that Visser, the second one, Nicolaas Visser II, on Wikipedia, you can find it, is the son of Nicolaas Visser I, and he published a map which is just the same, but his father, where was it? I have to find it here. Yeah, where is it? His father was a dip? No, that was the son. No, his father, sorry. His father... He was buried on the 11th of September in 1679, but there are other reports that he lived until 1709, which is 30 years later.
More than that.
That is more than his son.
Any historical person that is famous, and then start looking at his birthday, death date, education and stuff, just biographical dates, you're going to see there is so many questions. And surprisingly, like, I thought we should know these people, and apparently they don't know. It's all like, oh, maybe from they have 25, 50-year gaps and so on.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is, what you can see, and I even have an scientific paper of that, a guy who mapped it out, literally, he traced back of who copied maps from whom. So that's quite interesting, because you have the German chain, you have the Dutch chain, and you have the Italian, what we now call Italy, but like Phoenicians and Florence and all these Genoa, you know.
Yeah, and I know what you're talking about.
So yeah, I mean they he mapped it out and who copied maps from whom and so. And you can see it because some of the maps are like copies, and most of the time, I mean, even taking all this history as completely how it was, I don't know if that's the case. I need to find
it
out.
More than that, they were departments of production, and they produced those maps together with history. It's bigger than that, dude. I don't think they.
No, of course it's bigger. You know, and that is why I. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you.
Okay, because you look at the names and how it goes, like, it's very different in some areas. They're going to have really different names, and it's very strange. It doesn't look like if I wanted to copy a map, I would just copy a map. They were doing more than that. And there is more documents that probably come with that. I haven't gotten into it that far, but it looks to me, you know, from the first glance for what I needed to see, I already saw it. It's like a big propaganda. And the history, we got to look at history, not that it is the way it is today, but the way the history was in the 19th century. And it was a completely different science, and it correlates with the maps and with the peoples who lived there. But in reality, today, it's probably fake science, fake history, if that's a good name. But it's made up. It's a lot of made up stories in 19th century, and then there's a lot of maps to back up those stories. That's what I noticed.
No, I agree, and I've seen examples of that. But it's hard to pinpoint exactly the time and when it was invented, and so first, my first phase is just mapping it out and just listing stuff, and then. I focus on five topics because I think they're important. But you added now the North Africa and Sahara topic. It's also interesting. But
take a look. You'll see that 1600s, 1700s maps show the Nile goes all the way across Africa. And there is all those cities and it's flourished. There's lakes and rivers and. Now there's
but what I've seen, what I talked about when you went for a pit stop, they just invent stuff. They completely invent islands, areas, lands. I mean, California is shown as an island.
Yeah,
very long in time, right? And this, I've noted that, but not in a separate column or something, but in comments. Another atlas, it's an atlas, I make differences between atlases and maps. Johannes van Keulen, who was Dutch, he published an atlas in 1684, where he calls Nova Granada, which is Latin for New Granada, which was the original name for Colombia, and he places it in Oregon, where it's present-day Oregon, right? And it doesn't make any sense, because everybody knew back then, I mean, that New Granada was Colombia, was northern South America, was not in Oregon, North America. The map from 1666, no joke, by Peter Goos, who was also a Dutch cartographer, he shows California as an island. And many others have shown California as an island, like the father of what we were talking about, Nicolaas Visser, in 1658, he showed California as an island.
Look, I got this Nicolaas Visser map of North Africa. Look at it. Shows Nile goes south, and then there is another one west, and then look at how many towns and stuff is over there.
Ah, nice.
Big lakes.
How do I zoom in?
Or just with the mouse scroll.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, okay. Let me see. There's a Nile that is flowing north from Victoria Lake, so that looks good.
Yeah, but then another one that from east to west, from west to east, and they connect. It splits. It splits about Libya, where it says they're in Libya.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, I interpreted it as Lake Chad. It's not really mentioned, but it's called the Borno Rain. So Empire, what is the name of there in Central Africa. Yeah, there's another river coming into them now. Yeah, I see.
Yeah, you see, there is a lot of those territories, you know, and that's not the best map. There is much better maps.
And you see a lot of islands just invented in the Indian Ocean next to Madagascar. It's just...
Draw
some islands, right? And it's good. I mean, it's fun. I mean, it's just looking at the map, just seeing how many mistakes there are, and it's not really, I mean, concluding something, yeah. We just first have to map it all out. I mean, it takes years of research if you want to do it right, right? And what I said, the scientific method is first analyzing the data, getting results, and then discussing it and making conclusions. That is right. I mean, the scientific method is right. Scientism is wrong because it goes against that method. But it's not science, it's not the enemy. It's scientism. Yes, that's the enemy. Yeah, I agree. Nick, are you still there?
I'm just looking for more maps of that region. But you can search.
In the meantime, I keep talking. I will mute for a sec.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just getting tired. I gotta go eat soon, so I'll probably bounce as well. It's just a bunch of maps. I recommend you just go in there and type Africa sorted by date, select Africa. It's a little tricky with the search on this davidramsey.com website, but it's amazing. It has maps, it has some books, best quality, and there you could see it's a completely different. It wasn't a desert. There's nothing about desert here. It's rivers and cities, a lot of posts, and official geology just doesn't tell you anything. They tell you it was a desert for the past 3,000-4,000 years. Obviously not so. Or it's all imaginary. The other answer, it's all imaginary. Then how far can we go? Everything is imaginary, as usual. David Ramsey is an American map collector and the founder of David Ramsey Map Collection. He's also president of Cartography Associates. Ramsey has a Bachelor of Arts for Fine Arts from Yale University. Skull and Bones. Oh, here we go. Was a founding member of Yale Research Associates in the arts, also known as PALSA, a group of artists working with the electronic technology. So they're a group of artists working with electronic technology, faking the maps. He was also in 1966 initiated into the Skull and Bones Society. Boom. Here we go. Biggest map collection.
Hello.
Did you hear I opened this guy, David Rumsey, is the biggest map collection, and I opened his link to Wikipedia, who he is, and he's apparently was from Yale, and he was working with a group of digital artists, electronic technology, artists working with electronic technology, and the biggest one, it says right there on his webpage, it was also 1966 initiated into the Skull and Bones Society. Wikipedia, thank you very much. Wikipedia is a source of great knowledge. If you know how to use Wikipedia, it's a source of great understanding of what's going on with this world. The guy's modifications with electronic art, as he says, states himself there, or it's stated about him.
I mean, this guy is a founding member of Yale Research Associates.
Dude, that's the kind of, that's where you look at the map and then you're like, fishy, what's going on? Well, guess what? Guess who's publishing this stuff? We can't trust those guys. Wow, some surprisingly, they got their grip on everything.
initiated in 1966 in the Skull and Bone Society. Hey, what
that's,
the fuck?
That's what I'm telling you. That's biggest collection of digitized maps, super quality. Quality is amazing. But can we trust them? Can we really trust the 322 guy?
And the photo, yeah, I mean, 322 is like 2 days from now. And the photo is shown with an aura, right? And like a saint.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like a saint. They like to do that saint aura, yeah. Oh my god, what a bunch of pills. You see, that's what I do in my life, cast. I just go open a random Wikipedia page, and surprisingly, I find all the info on those guys. Well, in any case, I'm gonna go eat because I haven't eaten a long time.
Yeah, no, good idea. I will also do that.
Yeah. So nice chatting.
Yeah, it was great chatting,
you.
And thanks for the links, man.
Yeah, I'll be here tomorrow, whatever, all the time. I see you around.
Okay, good night, man.
Good night.
Hi, this is Procyon. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.